Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Big day around here today. Our WDAY Radio Farm Radio Show is being held today. It'll take place right after Jason and I get off the air at 8:30. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will be taking over. And my goodness, what a show she has planned for you. She will be joining us about 7:20, giving us a preview, but she remodeled the entire studio in the entryway, and it's like you will not believe all the farm-related stuff that she has in the studio, and you'll be able to watch that on our social media pages. But stay tuned. Much more on the WDAY Radio Farm Show. Kicks off at 8:30 this morning, goes all day long, right up until 5 p.m. Weather yesterday wasn't too bad, overcast, but it was a nice day. Today we're looking for sunshine and equally nice, about 48 for our high temp. We'll squeeze out 50 for the high tomorrow. We'll start cooling off on Friday, and the weekend is going to be very cold, so brace yourself for that. Right now we have clear skies, 33 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I 29 in South Fargo, winds out of the west-northwest, 9 miles an hour. Voters in the Moorhead Area Public School District have approved an operating levy and capital projects levy, which will help fund the district's budget and restore financial stability. In a press release late last night, Superintendent Dr. Brandon Lunick said, "This is a moment of profound gratitude and renewed hope for our schools." Meanwhile, voters in the Dilworth-Glendon-Felton School District voted down a referendum that would have increased funding by $500 per student for the next 10 years. Fire damaged a house in Moorhead yesterday afternoon. No one was home at the time, and there were no injuries, but firefighters rescued a dog from the house. The fire in the 400 block of 12th Street North was reported just before 3. A passerby noticed the fire and called 911. Firefighters arrived to find the back of the house on fire with extension to the eaves. They managed to put the fire out, and the cause is under investigation. Jamestown police are investigating after bullet holes were found in a hotel room window. Police have received an initial report of bullet holes and determined a handgun was fired from inside the room through the window into the parking lot. They found spent handgun casings in the motel room. They're still investigating but have located people of interest in the case. They say the incident is believed to be isolated to a group of known individuals and there is no danger to the public. Meanwhile, construction workers discovered what police believe are human fetal remains at a job site in southeast Jamestown yesterday. Our partners at Valley News Live say the construction company called Stutsman County Dispatch to report they believe they exhumed the remains while working on a project. Jamestown police responded to the scene and found what they described as intact fetal remains along with broken pieces of an amber-brown glass container. Stutsman County Coroner collected and exhumed the remains. They're being sent to the medical examiner's office for further investigation. Anyone with information is asked to call Jamestown Police. A North Dakota father is suing several agencies for a drug raid that caused alleged physical and psychological damage to his minor daughter. Cornell Christofferson filed the suit on behalf of himself and his daughter against Judge Donovan Fody, Bureau of Indian Affairs Special Agent Stell Fallon, and 4 county sheriff's departments. Christofferson's legal action stems from an operation at his home last year when multiple agents raided his property on the Spirit Lake Reservation. According to court documents, the raid resulted in insect bites on his daughter, hospitalization for pneumonia, and ongoing trauma. He's seeking compensatory and punitive damages and injunctive relief. No trial date has been set. Kenmare, North Dakota Police Chief Alan Hall has resigned. He submitted his resignation letter October 21st and served his last day October 29th. City of Kenmare no longer has a police force. However, the mayor says the Ward County Sheriff's Office is doing some patrolling in the area. And a North Dakota high school band is heading to London in 2027. Mandan High School will be performing at the 41st London Parade on January 1st, 2027. Every year, the parade attracts hundreds of thousands of spectators. Anywhere between 16 and 20 high school and college bands and cheerleaders in the nation are selected to participate. The London Parade isn't something groups can apply for, as the organizers selectively choose who they invite from the United States. The founder and chairman, Bon Bone, says the Mandan Braves stood out for being entertaining. 5:05, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman. Good morning to you, Jace.
Good morning, Bon.
Had some volleyball action last night.
That we did. And it was an exciting match, especially a good match to raise funds for cancer awareness last night. So that was a lot of fun to be a part of, although there might have been some young person that maybe tripped over our power cord.
Oh, did you guys get knocked off?
I think we might have got knocked off at the end.
You know what? That actually happens. It does.
Last night in EDC volleyball play, West Fargo Horace swept Grand Forks Red River. Shanley got past Central in four sets. Fargo Davies beat West Fargo in a five-setter. That one was 25-22, 19-25, 23-25, 25-21, and 15-11. And not to be outdone, Fargo North beat Fargo South three sets to two. They dropped that first set 25-11, but then they rebounded and won the next two, 25-22, 25-23. Fargo South got a really exciting four-set victory, 26-24, and then the final set, which is normally go to 15, win by two, was 16-14 for Fargo North. So it was a very close match. I mean, there was a sweep between these two squads last time, but it was each match was 3 points, 3 points, and 2 points. It was about as close as you can get in a sweep. Last night, the Minnesota Wild came through, and they got a 3-2 overtime win in St. Paul against the Nashville Predators. Marcus Johansson scored the game-winning goal in the fourth minute of the extra period after Steven Stamkos tied the game for the Preds, which I didn't realize Stamkos is not with the Preds. But he scored that goal in the final second of regulation. Kirill Kaprizov and Zeev Boyum also got a goal in the victory. Minnesota has won its last two games, is tied for sixth in the Central with 13 points. The Wild visit the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Minnesota Timberwolves are going to go for their third win in the row as they take on the New York Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden. Minnesota is off to a 4-3 start. The game tips off at 6:30 p.m. Of note, Anthony Edwards was upgraded yesterday to questionable for today's game. So he is maybe not going to miss the full 2 weeks. We'll have to wait and see if he actually does get a chance to play or not. I know, Bonnie, your Vikings, my Buccaneers, both teams stood silent on the trade deadline. There was a bunch of trades yesterday in the NFL, but none of them avoided the Minnesota Vikings. New York Jets, Miami Dolphins were active trading away pieces for future assets. Some teams trying to make some moves. Eagles and Cowboys, most notably, the most busy on the trade deadline yesterday. So we'll see.
So Vikes didn't decide to grab another quarterback or anything, huh?
No. I mean, like Tampa could have used another wide receiver or a defensive end. Vikings could have used, I can't remember if they were saying just a quarterback. Maybe they could have used
backup just because, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing with the trade deadline. Number one, you have to have the assets you're willing to trade. And I know that both Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Jason Light down at Tampa, they're very conservative with those draft picks because both franchises have done a really good job in drafting over the last 5 to 10 years.
But now Carson Wentz is out. So do we have more than two, J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer? Is there somebody behind
John Walford.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was a little worried. I thought
he was a player from, I believe, Wake Forest. He played like in the United Football League or XFL.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, he became a backup for the Buccaneers a couple years ago.
They'll have
an emergency quarterback, but I mean, obviously, the way JJ played this last weekend, you hope that number one, he can stay healthy. Number two, he can continue performing
like that.
But traditionally, at the deadline, sometimes the trade help that you get can be helpful, but it's not necessarily game changer type of scenarios because it's tough to bring in someone in the middle of the season and have them fit right in like they've been there since the beginning of training camp. So we'll see if any of these trades help some of these other teams. Minnesota Twins yesterday, they had their new manager speak to the press for the first time. Derek Shelton. He's named Twins manager. He told the reporters at his introductory press conference that being away from baseball in the last 6 months has allowed him to become a better manager. He was fired by the Pirates early in the 2025 season. He said he's learned a lot about himself and about the game since his dismissal, highlighting different things he could have done differently in Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh, though. Shelton takes over for Rocco Baldelli, who was fired by the Twins in September. So, Twins fire their manager because there's no talent on the team because they traded it all away. And then they hire a guy that got fired by another franchise. Yeah. So
go Twins.
Yeah, we'll see if this works out. Yeah. College basketball tonight. North Dakota State is taking on UC Davis out in California. And then South Dakota locally is taking on number 23 ranked Creighton down in Omaha. Coming up on our family stations the rest of the week. Tomorrow, right here on WDAY Radio, more at Spuds Football versus Centennial. That game is at Spring Lake Park. Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. Saturday afternoon, Larry will travel back down to the cities as the Cobbers take on McAllister. 12 p.m. kickoff with Larry the Legend on that one. And then on our sister station, the Flag, Friday state semifinals. Fargo Davies hosts Bismarck High at 7 p.m. James and I will be there for all your action. And then Saturday, last home game of the season for the Minnesota State Moorhead Dragons. They take on the Jamestown Jimmies. 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff. Senior day, if you're not busy, come on out. See some of the best who have ever done it for the Dragon program. Record-setting quarterback Jack Strand, record-setting wide receivers Gage Florence, Brady Perryman. Brady Perryman's got a touchdown record. Gage Florence, I believe James told me this week, he is four catches away from tying, five away from breaking the all-time receptions mark in Division II football.
Oh my.
All of Division
II
football, not just NSIC. He is going to set a record for most catches in a career. A lot of great defenders on our team finishing up their year. Mikael Pearson's been just absolutely playing great. He won, you know, Defensive Conference Player of the Week. So this is your last time to see them at Nemzik this season, so come on out. It'll be a bit brisk, so bundle up, but get out and watch some really, really great football. I can't say enough about it.
Last home game, but how many games overall are left?
Two left.
The last season. This one and the one away?
Yeah, November 8th here at home at Nemzik against Jamestown, and then November 15th we'll be on the road down in Mankato, as it's the battle for the title of Minnesota State University.
That'll be a big game.
Yeah, Moorhead versus Mankato.
All righty. Nice day today. Sunny, 48 for our high temp, with winds out of the northwest at 10 to 15, 31 our overnight low. Nicer tomorrow, partly sunny, 54 for the high, south winds 15 to 25. So enjoy the next 2 days. Things are going to turn, get a whole lot colder as we get into the weekend. Partly sunny, 42 tomorrow. Friday, 42, winds north-northwest 10 to 25 with an overnight low around 28. And then Saturday, cold. Good chance we'll see some flurries or light snow, only 32. That's your high temp, overnight low around 18. So that's our hard frost. That's our killing frost that we really haven't seen yet. And then Sunday, partly sunny and cold, 32 for the high. Overnight low around 20, and winds both Saturday and Sunday about 10 to 20 miles an hour. So you get on that upper end, and you're only 30, 32 degrees. It's going to be brisk out this weekend. Right now, it's clear. We have 33 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the west, northwest, 9 miles an hour. I'm surprised, well, first of all, we get to do our show this morning before Bridget takes over with the WDAY Radio Farm Show.
That's a lot more positive attitude about our show than I had.
Well, I'm surprised there's even room for the two of us. I'm surprised you're not, having to hold those soybeans or corn jars, and I don't have the tractor and the implement sitting in my lap this morning. Squeaked in here because Bridget's taken over the studio.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of room to see the TVs or anything.
I thought she had a lot of stuff in here yesterday. I thought, wow, it looks really cool. And then she brought a lot more stuff.
So yes, she did.
It is definitely filled up. And yeah, great show planned for you. It begins at 8:30 this morning, going all day long until 5 o'clock. Bridget has put so much work into it. So please, 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 we encourage you to tune in throughout the day. 5:14, we are going to get your national news right now from ABC, then a song of the morning, question of the morning coming up. Wednesday morning, 5:20, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, National Donut Day. Maybe pick some up for the office or home or whatever you want to do. So our question of the morning, no, I didn't get you any, don't look at me like that. What's your favorite?
Rude.
What's your favorite donut, plain and simple? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Wednesday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you coming up on the show. Oh, Crash will be joining us about 6:05 or so. They've got another meat raffle tonight, Veterans Honor Flight. at Wild Rice Bar and Grill. We'll get details on that. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will join us at 7:20. She's going to be previewing the WDAY Radio Farm Show, which begins right after Jason and I get off the air here at 8:30, and it'll go all day long until 5 o'clock. And then Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight right around 7:45, like he does every Wednesday. We do have some tickets to give away still, two pairs of tickets to Messiah Lutheran Church Potato Club Dinner, which is this Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. If you want to be winning those, be listening for an opportunity and make sure if you try to win them that you can actually use them Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. And if you just want to buy your own tickets, they are selling tickets right at the door. They didn't do a pre-sale this year, but all money raised being split between the Messiah Lutheran Church Youth Group and the Emergency Food Pantry. 5:25, our question of the morn. It is National Donut Day, so why not? What's your favorite donut? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Are you going to say all of them?
I was thinking that if we just had that clip of Bubba from Forrest Gump, when he just names off all the different kinds of shrimp. Blueberry Dunkers, chocolate donuts, regular donuts, cake donuts.
You like them all?
Yeah. I did like the kind of like the Boston cream-filled pie, you know, eclair ones. Mm-hmm. Raspberry-filled, blueberry-filled, apple-filled. My current favorite right now, there's two of them that they have over, and I don't know how the filling exactly is made. But Sandy's Donuts has their angel cream-filled donuts.
Yeah.
And they've got the chocolate angel cream-filled donuts, which is even better.
I don't know what that is. I was kind of like, Susie put something about either white or chocolate frosting inside. And mm-hmm. it's like a, I was trying to figure that out. It's like kind of Cool Whip, but it's not.
No,
it's like a whipped something.
It's a whipped filling. So it's kind of, it's very light.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not just whipped cream.
No,
it's more than that. It's whipped cream
different.
And sugar. And there's a little bit of cream cheese or something to thicken it up a little bit. I know that when my mom makes my favorite Twinkie cake, there's like cream cheese and sugar and blah, blah, blah that's made for that filling, that Twinkie filling.
Is that the same?
Not the same.
Yeah, that donut filling is just so different.
Yeah, so it's lighter than like this filling my mom makes for Twinkie cake, but it's very sweet, and so therefore you're not going to want to have more than a donut of it. But the difference between the two donuts, if you're trying to figure out which one's angel cream filled and which one's the chocolate angel cream filled, they got just a little slight drizzle of chocolate over the one donut, so you know that there's chocolate on the inside.
One.
Yeah. So those are my favorites, but I really usually love like the filled donuts or Long John's. I mean, a lot of times donuts you can't go wrong, and you know, it's probably partially the reason I got into law enforcement because I like donuts.
You like donuts? Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Krispy Kreme's is the traditional glazed ones. You know?
I don't eat donuts very often. It's not like I don't like
but
them.
But when I do, I eat 13 of them.
No, that is so not me. But I can walk by, say if we have a box of Sandy's donuts here, I can walk by them and not have one unless there's the blueberry cake donut. Mm-hmm. I love the blueberry cake donut. I will always grab it. If there's other stuff in there, it's like, nope, I don't need those extra calories.
So what would be the difference in preparing the cake donuts? Because there's blueberry cake donuts. There's the chocolate cake donuts. There's obviously regular like yeast donuts. Is it just about the mix? Because obviously the texture of them is different.
Dense.
Yeah, it's more dense, obviously. I mean, usually those are almost maybe a bit smaller because obviously with the yeast ones, they can be big and puffy, and then you can obviously frost them. You can also put a filling in them as well. So it's just the batter.
Batter's
obviously
different. Cake donut's dense.
Are they cooked the same way? They're not baked. I mean, are they baked instead of fried?
I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is I've had Sandy's and I've had the Dunkers at Quick Trip.
Yeah,
and those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my favorite. My mom used to make homemade donuts all the time when we were growing up. And those were the light, airy kind.
I don't remember. The traditional ones you get, like, say, the, you know, Krispy Kreme glazed ones. When we made donuts at home, ours were heavier. They were more dense than that. I don't know if they were cake-like donuts. I mean, my sister's probably listening right now. I don't know that they were cake ones, but we would take the frying pan and fill it with oil, and then we'd have this donut batter, and then we'd make donuts because she had that little dropper where it would make it into the donut shape, okay. And you'd drop it into the oil. And we would make these kind of plain donuts, and then we would either shake them in powdered sugar, regular sugar, or you might just eat them plain. And that was like a huge treat when we were kids.
My mom's were the light, airy ones and probably fried them in lard mm-hmm. back in the day. Yeah. I don't know. But I know they were raised donuts because she would use like a cookie cutter, like one of those round ones. And then you could do donut balls too.
Yeah.
So you'd cut them with that and then you'd throw them in the boiling grease.
See, we didn't do ours that way. They weren't raised ones. They were just, there was a batter and then there was like this little batter dropper. So when you pulled the handle, then it dropped it down and it made a circle for the donuts. Mm-hmm. So
maybe a cake one then. I don't know.
It's more cake-like for sure.
Yeah. National Donut Day today. Yeah, what's your favorite donut?
Rochelle just said, yeah, she thinks they were cake donuts.
701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Kevin is not fancy. Kevin and Fergus says anything glazed. No frills, no extra topping, just fond of glazed fried rolls. Glazed donuts are good, too.
Donuts, in some ways, Bonnie, are kind of like pizza. Even when they're bad, they're still pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, I don't eat them very often, but it's not because I don't like them. It's just because I don't need them, put it that way.
You are just so not fun at times.
I know.
When you have donuts, you have to have more than just a donut. You have to have more.
Even Costco sells boxes of those blueberry cake donuts. Mm-hmm. I've knocked a few of those back, too. I mean, I don't like to exactly buy those because it's a box of probably 12 or something. See, and I can probably eat three or four of them, no problem.
When it was your birthday and you would bring donuts to the office at my last job, I mean, you'd get a baker's dozen, it'd be 13, right? And so this was before a couple people retired. So we might have had it at a point where if there was at least half a dozen of us, so that's, you know, two donuts apiece. However, you know, my coworkers, Michelle and Kristen, they would have a donut because, like, Michelle, her favorite was like an apple fritter. Mm-hmm. And there was a certain kind, I think, that Kristen liked. And so that left, there's an extra donut and another extra donut because they're only going to eat one instead of two. I made sure there was no
and
not many
donuts.
And if
it was your birthday, you deserve three of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe four. I'm just saying.
They're just so, yeah.
So good.
They should be a special treat, not an everyday thing.
No, not an everyday thing.
Mark says the Bismarck with custard. I used to like, as a kid, the jelly-filled Bismarcks.
Yeah, exactly. Either
raspberry or jelly in those.
Yep. Jelly, the jam, the apple little filling, you know, any of them.
Anita, just simple cake donut. Some people like simple. Some people like fancy.
That's the donut dropper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have that in our house. Like I said, I know they were raised donuts because I remember my mom and then rolling them on the table, and then she'd use that little cutter that we had to make them.
My sister found a picture. Popeil's Donut Maker.
Oh, Ron Popeil. Everything made by Ron Popeil is the greatest. We had a lot. What did my mom have? The rotisserie chicken thing, like you'd put two chickens on there and then they'd spin around. And then there
Ron Popeil's Pocket Fisherman. Get it now.
The knife that could cut through not only tomatoes, you know, perfect tomato slices.
That might have just been
cut through cans.
That might have just been the Ginsu knife.
I don't know. I have one of those. My mom actually gave me one. She had a couple of them. I've got one in the cupboard. It's kind of like, it works. It does. It works well.
Oh, I'm sure.
For 40 years. Mike says, Sandy's Donut, the peanut lovers from Sandy's. It's filled with peanut butter cream. I love peanut butter.
There's also those other type of donuts that, like, you can get, like, an Oreo donut or the Reese's Pieces one.
I mean, you can get crazy with donuts.
There's some even at the Hornbacher's Deli that will have their section. And on, I believe it's Fridays, if I'm not mistaken, someone can correct me, but I believe it's on Fridays, buy one, get one free. And so I remember I've gone there with one of my daughters and we've gotten donuts for everybody, and they'll have donuts that are just your standard donuts, but then they'll frost them and then they will push them down into either Oreo crumbles or Reese's Pieces, the little Reese's Pieces, you know, and then there's some Reese's peanut butter cups on there as well, just overly topped,
over the top, yeah.
Topped
it's
with
like
stuff.
Two desserts in one, basically.
Yes, and you only want one of those. Otherwise, you're going to be not feeling so hot afterwards.
And I never grabbed any, but the kids would when they were little. But Hornbacher's always has like the donut balls or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if it's a certain day a week or whatever it is, but they always had the – and those are just the plain cake donuts, you know, not like sugar or anything on them. Susie said any donut with white or chocolate frosting inside, and that's that – like angel frosting or whatever?
Not necessarily. Because angel cream is specific. Cream. I mean, she's saying either white or chocolate
frosting.
What else
frosting. Would be white?
Sometimes there's just a filling. I mean, it could be a cream. White? It could be a frosting.
Some of them, like the yellow pudding with the... Well, that's mm-hmm. one Mark would say, I think, is the custard.
Yeah,
right?
the custard or the Boston... I mean, there's a version that's a Boston cream donut, which is going to be that yellow custard with chocolate frosting on the top. I know way too much about donuts.
Yes, you do. It's pretty clear. What's your favorite donut? Do you know more than Jace does? Well, maybe if you worked in a donut shop. It is National Donut Day today. So
this segment brought to you by Sandy's Donuts.
There you go.
Come on by the studio at any point in time, guys.
Have a donut and enjoy. 5:35, we are going to get your national news and sports in from ABC. Big day here on WDAY Radio. Ag Director Bridget Riedel will be bringing you the Farm Show. That starts right after Jace and I get off the air here at 8:30, going all day long until 5 o'clock. Be listening for all the incredible guests that Bridget has worked hard to get lined up for this big day around here. Lots of displays, so you'll be able to watch video if you would like on our mm-hmm. social media channels as well. She's put a lot of work. She's been working months to put this together, and it will be a fantastic show. For all the golfers out there, I see Village Green Golf Course officially closes at dusk tomorrow night. I think Village Green is the last one open. I think the Meadows closed last Sunday. I think Fargo's had previously closed, unless there's a nine-holer open. Probably can still go Leonard or elsewhere to some of those courses. But I think in town, the big courses at least, the 18-holers, that's it for in town here. If you're wondering why flags are being flown at half-staff, Governor Armstrong directed all North Dakota and U.S. flags flown at half-staff in remembrance of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Oh, okay.
We've got green lights. I even noticed them in my neighborhood.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's in honor of Veterans Day and proclamation that was made here locally. Cass County had said they were participating in Operation Green Lights. So all buildings in the county illuminated November 4th through the 11th as part of Operation Green Light for veterans to support military veterans. So, yeah, that was cool. And the big clock on the Cass County Courthouse, that's lit up green. So
nice.
You'll likely see quite a bit of green here in the metro area, but that was the reason why. I saw it. It was just coming out yesterday afternoon on the evening news, I guess. There was a UPS plane that crashed. Did you see that in Louisville, Kentucky?
I was just seeing it popped up on my Facebook feed, and I didn't know if it was true or not, because sometimes you see stuff that's either
true.
Old or it's not real. Not saying that a plane crash, they would fake that, but I hadn't heard about it because, of course, we were at the volleyball match last night. So I wasn't watching the news last night. And then when you did turn on the news, they were talking a lot about election night across the country and different.
That's true, too.
A couple governor's races, a proposition out in California, et cetera, et cetera.
There was a lot of stuff going on in our local elections here, school elections. The Moorhead one passed. DGF failed, if you're just joining us now. They just said it was a UPS plane, so I'm thinking as I'm listening, well, there had to be two people aboard.
And then probably a couple pilots.
Yeah, later they reported there was three people on board, but now we're learning seven people were killed, so there must have been some people on the ground that were killed.
Definitely.
And it sounded like, in that report I heard last night, it only got like 175 feet off the ground on takeoff. It just basically came down, massive, massive fire.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Happened at Muhammad Ali International Airport in Louisville, Kentucky. So latest reports, seven people died when that UPS plane crashed. And our network, ABC News, will continue to keep us updated on that. And then I guess they're still looking for those monkeys that there was a semi that overturned or whatever in Mississippi a week ago. And I think it was initially there were seven. And the truck driver had told, you know, law officers first responding to the scene that these were research monkeys that were infected with diseases. Well, we later learned, according to the university, that they didn't have diseases. But, you know, when you first get the information and it's crazy and they were looking for them and they were told to shoot them right away if they saw them. And then there were still three on the run. Well, I know a woman shot one a couple of days ago. They say there's one more still running out there. Two others have been found dead, too. So still trying to round up that last one. But the good news was learning after the fact that That'd be freaky at first. Yeah, like these are research monkeys. They might be, yeah. You know, that was probably the best knowledge that that trucker who was transporting them had that he gave to law enforcement at the time.
Wasn't there a movie that started that way, like Contagion or Outbreak or one of those movies?
I don't know if it was a semi-wreck or anything. Wasn't it just like in a lab? That was a long time ago. Yeah. I remember watching that and kind of getting freaked out about it.
It was well before something like COVID hit. So you're just like, all of a sudden COVID happened and you're just like, wait a minute.
Like maybe an early 80s movie or something?
90s. I think they were 90s movies.
Yeah, I remember briefly seen part of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, you just never know, right?
I know, exactly. Now you get some random monkeys that are test subjects running around your neighborhood, and you're just like, are they infected monkeys, or are they just regular monkeys?
Exactly. National Donut Day, our question of the morn. What is your favorite donut? The phone lines are always open to you, and we love to chat with you guys. 701-293-9000.
I'm surprised no one has said free.
Well, a lot of people like free.
Yes.
Dean just put down Sandy's. Well, of course.
Yeah. Well,
although the Quick Trip blueberry dunkers.
Yeah, they're not bad, I'm telling you. But
I guess they have a cherry one because James said he had to buy the cherry.
I bought chocolate ones. When we were in Michigan, they have chocolate. Either on the east side of Wisconsin or just into Michigan. I forget where we stopped at a Quick Trip there. And I was like, ooh, six of them for just $4? I was like, yes, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everybody loves donuts. I mean, how can you not?
I bet there's some people that don't like donuts. Like, I'm not saying I don't like them.
I don't want to be friends with those kind of people.
Don't trust them. Jim's is the apple fritter. Yeah. It's a pastry, right? You get it at a donut shop.
Well, yeah, I mean, I literally said that about one of my coworkers, that her favorite was the apple fritter, and that, you know, we'd get those at Sandy's, and I was going to say, before my train of thought, you know, just stopped. It's interesting living in a place like Fargo-Moorhead, where a national chain that is so well known, Krispy Kreme. Now, granted, we don't have a Dunkin' Donuts, which a lot of times Dunkin' Donuts these days, to me, is almost more known for their coffee and their breakfast sandwiches than just donuts. But it's interesting that we have a donut place here, Sandy's Donuts, that has literally run out of the metro area, Krispy Kreme donuts.
You just can't compete with Sandy's.
And they've expanded. They've got their main store that they expanded on to make more donuts over there in West Fargo. They've got a place in downtown Fargo to sell them. They got a place over on 45th or whatever. I mean, do they have one over on Veterans or something like that? So, I mean, they've got multiple, you know, like stores to sell them every day.
And then
they
deliver outside the metro area too, to different places too. So they do. I did see something like in the past 2 weeks about Krispy Kreme coming back to Minnesota, like the Twin Cities metro at least.
Okay.
It's a good thing they don't have a Sandy's down there.
Well, you know, Sandy's Donuts, if you're listening, you know, we'll do some commercials for you if you want to start, you know, expanding to the Twin Cities.
Yeah. We will do commercials.
I know. We'll work for donuts.
Mm. There's his little bag line. I knew it was coming. I expected it quicker. Favorite donuts. Crash also goes with the apple fritter.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy's maple long john is what Lisa says, or the maple fried cinnamon. Some of those have bacon on them too. Have you done those at all?
I want to say I've tasted a donut that's got bacon crumbles on it. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes you don't really think that goes with it, but it actually kind of does.
I can't do normal and sweet food together, so I would not have it, and I wouldn't like it. I love bacon, and I could eat the Long John, but not together.
Sandy's Donuts also have at least a couple different, like, cinnamon rolls and caramel rolls too. I mean, those are definitely not donuts, but they kind of sell some of those as well.
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. Caramel rolls for sure.
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely not donuts, but I think a lot of donut places usually have something like that in their case of deliciousness.
Mm-hmm. Janet goes with the custard filled with chocolate frosting.
Mm-hmm.
Barb says sour cream.
Have you had those?
I was going to ask. Is that just sour cream, like in the batter, and a cake donut?
If I'm not mistaken, the sour cream ones have sour cream in the batter, and it's a cake donut. Now that you mention it,
I've seen them, but I actually have not had. Oh, Okay, I Googled a picture. This is the one. It looks like a cake donut with glaze on it. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, they're very good.
Mm, yeah, I guess I have had them. I just didn't realize they were a sour cream donut.
Yeah, it sounds weird when you think about it, but it's like you said, I think it's just in the batter because it's all donut to me, man.
I would have just called that a glazed cake donut.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I guess it's a sour cream donut.
Aren't most cake donuts, well, I guess not all of them, but a lot of them, aren't they glazed?
The powdered sugar glaze on them?
Yeah.
I think, well, no, because you can have a plain, like the Salvation Army always does. I don't know, it's like a yearly tradition for them. Mm-hmm. And it was like a recipe from way back in the day when they used to give donuts out, and it's just an old-fashioned cake donut, but it doesn't have any sugars or anything on it. Yeah, it's just plain. So there's the plain option, too.
I also really, really like the like Hostess or other brands, the mini donuts that are chocolate-covered.
I mean, I ate those as a kid, but that chocolate tastes like wax. It does.
Yeah. I'm
so if those are sitting next to, say, like the Quick Trip Dunkers.
No, probably not.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
If James and I are on a road trip all the way to Duluth or Mankato or over to Michigan, and I can go to a convenience store and get either six of those mini donuts for like $2 to $3, or I can spend $4.39 on a bag full of about two dozen or more, I'm taking the bag of donuts, and James might get three or four. I can just pop them one after the other. They're just a little sneaky snack.
There you go.
Plus, if you don't look at the calories in the servings per bag, then they don't count.
See, that's my problem. I'm a crazy label reader because I had gestational diabetes twice, and so it's like I just can't. I mean, it's been 23 years. I just can't
get past
that lock.
See, your kids ruined everything, Bonnie.
Yes, they did. So I am crazy about calories, carbs, everything like that. I pay attention to it. And I noticed, too, I got another flyer. I grabbed it out of the mailbox, and I didn't pay attention. But there's another Quick Trip that opens tomorrow. It's the Dilworth one over by Boys and Girls Ranch off Highway 10. So we've got the one basically on Main Avenue in Moorhead by the Sports Center, Menards over there. This one's opening up on Highway 10 in Dilworth right by Boys and Girls Ranch. And then there's another one off of 32nd and A Street in Moorhead.
Oh, really?
I think it's 30th, whatever that street is.
They need to be on my path to MSUM or somewhere.
These
because
are quick dip off the interstate. Boom, right there.
Not usually over that way.
Yeah, but MSUM to that one off of Main by Cullen Sports Center, basically right down the
but
road
I go,
from there. That's like maybe a mile max.
But I go down the interstate, I take the 20th Street exit, and I go that back road over to MSUM and that's it.
As much as you love donuts, maybe it's good. It's not right on the direct path.
That's what I'm saying. If it's in my direct line of sight and path, well, then, yeah, I'm going to go there. So I haven't come across the Quick Trips here.
You should
get
a bumper sticker. I break for donuts.
I probably break for more than just donuts, but whatever.
See, and I'm one of those people that I prefer salty. So if I'm going to grab a snack, it would more apt to be like chips or some kind of nuts or something.
It really depends on the time of day and the mood, because there are certain times you want salty and there's other times you want
like
sweet.
Breakfast or something.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, sometimes for breakfast, maybe do you want donuts or something
chips
sweet
for breakfast?
No, but you might want a breakfast burrito with some nice queso on it, or maybe some, get the little packet of salsa to squeeze in there.
You know your way around convenience stores, don't you?
Well, trust me, James had the probably horrendous realization that when we go on road trips, I am perfectly happy at stopping at a convenience store for gas and then finding my food.
Versus a restaurant. I'm the same way, a fast food place. Yeah, I'd rather do the convenience store thing.
I can go as low as just having that, mega turkey and cheese sandwich on like wheat bread or whatever that they have in the deli section that's been sealed and made somewhere else and it's been sitting there for a week.
It works.
I mean, I'll eat that in a bag of chips, no problem. And of course, then you find instead of the $2, individual size serving that's a little overpriced, then you spend $2.99, you get a full size bag of like Cheetos cheese puffs, and you're just like, before you know it, all those are gone. You're like, oops. So I can easily find more than enough to eat at a convenience store.
If I'm looking for healthier things, like some kind of granola or protein bar, but I like individually wrapped cheese chunks too.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Those are pretty tasty.
James is probably always like, "Oh, you want to stop to get something to eat, or are you just going to grab something at the convenience store?" And I'm just like, "We'll just stop at the convenience store. I'm fine."
Yeah.
And of course, James is probably like, oh, "Man,
I'm still was on the Quick Trip spot. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, coming up tomorrow, the Dilworth Quick Trip opens. I see the one in Fargo, mm-hmm. November 20th is when.
Where are
they
putting that one?
I don't know.
Is that off 45th Street?
Well, there's a couple of them. So there was a sign right behind us. Yeah, it'd be.
That one has
no,
to be.
No, it's like 40. Is it 42nd? Maybe it's 45th.
Well, the one that's over there, the sign that's right over there, that one I think they're building right over there, but they haven't really started on it yet.
It'll be a quick start. But there's one in Fargo opening November 20th. There's another one opening December 11th. Where's that other Moorhead? Maybe that other Moorhead one's open and I just didn't pay attention to it. Moorhead. Oh, yeah, I guess they have both open. So hey. That one over by the Dairy Queen off A Street and 30th or 32nd, whatever street that is. Mm-hmm. It looks like that opened up on October 23rd. So I guess
you missed out.
I know. Well, the only time I go down that road is my hairdresser is mm-hmm. over there. So it's
That's what I'm saying. I don't have to use 8th Street to get to MSUM. I mean, I can, but I just always take the other way because it's a little bit quicker.
Right.
It's like. Now, do you change your route just so you can
just
hit the quick strip?
The Dunkers.
Yeah. Chocolate Dunkers!
5:56, what's your favorite donut? National Donut Day today, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel.
0 - 0. Does equal 0. That confirm that formula-wise, mathematically.
Are you doing like a Kim Kardashian chat GPT?
No, I was listening to your song.
Oh, nothing
leaves nothing. Minus 0 equals 0.
We just happen to be chatting off air, though, about people that use AI and then they get busted or they fall on their face mm-hmm. or whatever. Because, yeah, I mean, you got to check stuff out. You just don't. There's no free lunch. There's no easy way.
And if you're taking a law exam of some sort, we had a part timer here, Bridget, our other Bridget, and she has graduated law school, but she had to quit working here because she was putting in all that time and effort to study and to do the work. There's no way to shortcut something like that. But famous celebrity that. Their only talent is being a reality TV star, trying to take the easy way.
I'd like to think that she was smarter than that. They're business women.
Sure.
I mean,
sometimes they play dumb on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I think they're successful business people. I mean, at least they in that TV show.
They are, but I still question really what the reason for them being famous.
No, I get that. Yeah, I totally get that. But yeah, quit trying to cheat. She was taking tests for her law exam, Kim Kardashian, and used ChatGPT.
And failed. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't imagine that anybody who's trying to pass a law test of any kind is going to try and use that. I mean, I understand that she was trying to use that to help her study. And maybe it was you're using ChatGPT to ask you, come up with questions so that I can test my knowledge or something. That would be the best way to do it. But if somehow you're getting incorrect information based on, you know, what was Johnson versus Johnson in 1972's court decision in California? What did it say? And then it's giving you inaccurate information. That's not good.
We've seen it firsthand. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like when our podcast, we were trying to use it for some people do use it for review our podcast and
to make a transcript to summarize it for potential listeners that want to know what this episode's about.
However,
so they can,
it's not always right, and it'll spew out stuff. Is like we didn't do that. Ronnie's discovered the same thing as I noticed a while back. So it's like I wouldn't trust it, and certainly mm-hmm. never for news. I mean, basically, if we're using it here, we're just like quick fact checking something or mm-hmm. doing a quick Google search or whatever.
Google search, and it'll bring up an AI summary, and you're hoping that for the most part that it's at least an accurate summary. Because
I would never use it for news purposes. No. Absolutely not. 6 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 6:04, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki looking like a little lumberjack this morning. You pulled out the flannel.
I got to dress the part here for the farm show, right?
Oh, is that why you wore what you wore today? Okay.
No, but, you know, it sounded good.
Bridget's really decorated up the studio, hasn't she?
It looks like a big old farm in here. She did great.
Yeah,
she's
put a lot of work in.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great show. Hopefully, hopefully everybody's listening and calling in and asking questions. And she's got a lot of good guests on.
Yeah.
And I get a half day, so it's even better.
All right.
Full beaver moon out there. Did you see it this morning?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I knew it was out there, so yeah.
Right there. If you look, well, you'd have to get out of your chair. We don't want that. So, but it's a chilly start if you left your car out. Little scraping of the windshield there. And this is nothing because we've got even colder weather.
Yeah.
The coldest of the season. Is heading our way as we head into the upcoming weekend. But not today. Today's going to be a nice one. We were in the 50s yesterday. Now, currently, temperatures sitting in the upper 20s to lower 30s. 29 here at the studio, 29 in Yulin. DL, you're at 33. Hunter, you're at 31. Wahpeton's at 28. Grand Forks at 33. A lot of sunshine today. And a little bit of a breeze out of the northwest at about 10 to 20. Not bad, with highs in the upper 40s. Again, that's well above normal. Well, not well above normal, but it is above normal. We should be in the mid-40s this time of the year. Then partly cloudy tonight, down to about 31 with winds turning to the southeast. And Thursday, that'll be the warmest day we see for a while with partly cloudy skies, a little bit of a breeze out of the south, and highs in the low to mid-50s. And then Friday, a cold front swings through. That will drop our highs into the upper 30s. We could see a light rain or snow shower on that front on Friday as it passes through the area. Not going to be a big deal, though. And then the cold air arrives over the weekend. A secondary clipper system drags down the cold air on Saturday. That'll give us a few snow showers in the area on Saturday.
That'll be something new.
Yeah, I know. A few flakes flying around in the air. And temperatures only around freezing over the weekend with nighttime lows in the mid-teens. And now winds are going to be strong on Saturday. So if you're going to be outside for football on Saturday.
Hunting. It's hunting season.
Hunting, too.
Deer hunting.
A strong north wind. Wind chills down into about the 9 to 15 degree range. So
Carhartt, snowmobile suit, whatever
yep.
you have.
Yep.
Your winter fishing gear.
It's going to be a cold one this weekend. Now, in terms of measurable snow, again, we're not looking at much here. A trace. Some spots maybe a tenth of an inch. Now, on a line from about Bismarck to Sioux Falls, in that general kind of angle, those areas could pick up an inch or so of snow. But again, with the ground being so warm, a lot of that's really not going to stick. But if you're heading out west towards Bismarck over the weekend, on Saturday you could see some light accumulating.
It's too early for an inch of snow.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Hard pass.
We don't want that.
No, thank you.
Okay, let's see if you remember. Let's see how good your memory is. I asked you yesterday.
November 17th.
Ooh, close.
19th.
19th? No.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was right in the middle. It was the 18th.
Oh. No,
but yeah, you guys are right there.
See, we sometimes do.
Sometimes you listen to me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was across all the metro, but we had some little bit of light rain later in the day in Moorhead yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We picked up 300ths of an inch out at the airport. There was a couple of spots where it was a brief little downpour, but it didn't last long. Yeah, but officially out at the airport, 300ths of an inch.
I mean, it was gloomy, but it was okay. I sat outside with the puppy for, I don't know, a good half hour, 45 minutes yesterday afternoon.
In the rain or not in the rain?
No, before it rained.
Okay, all right.
Before it rained. No, okay. I'm not that dumb.
Why isn't Jay saying anything?
I don't know.
He's on his phone. Does he even listen to us?
Not to you.
He's always on his phone.
Always on his phone.
You're worse than a wombat.
You're worse
than a
teenager.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I didn't want to say it because I had saved a story on that beaver moon. I thought this was the case, but I wanted to make sure. So it got its name because beavers typically take shelter in their lodges after gathering food for the winter. That was according to the old Farmer's Almanac back in the 1930s when they started publishing full moon names. It was also during the fur trade era. It was known as a season to trap beavers for their thick winter-ready pelts.
Uh-huh.
So that's where they got. I don't think I've ever heard beaver moon. I saw it on the news
last night. I've never heard that
before,
yeah.
You guys need to get out more.
Why would I worry about what they named the moon at this time?
I've never heard beaver moon.
It's edumacation.
You're a meteorologist, of course.
It edumacates you.
I'm not a meteorologist, so you know it's a full moon.
Me neither.
Okay. That's all you need to know. Yeah. And all the weirdos come out at that time.
Full moon. That is true. That's very true. You can't just say Sandy's Donuts. What's your favorite donut?
A glazed.
Yeah.
I remember. So my dad used to work.
How you doing this morning, Dean?
Yeah, he used to work the 3 to 11 shift, because he used to work at the steel mill. And so on his way home, he'd stop at the donut shop, and they were just making their glazed donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd bring home a dozen glazed donuts. So he'd get home about 11:30. He would wake me up because he knew that was my favorite. He goes, hey, I got some hot glazed donuts. Your mom's sleeping. Don't tell her.
The only thing with glazed donuts, they are so light that, I mean, if you don't stop yourself, you could easily put a lot of those down. They're good, though.
But like a nice warm glazed donut. Oh.
That's most people, that's what they were most looking forward to when we had the Krispy Kreme in town.
Anything besides glazed donuts there?
I think technically they do, but I just think
they're
known for
the glazed donuts.
I think they just got run out of town by Sandy's Donuts.
See, I might be one of the few
that didn't like them.
I'm not a Krispy Kreme fan. It was, to me, I mean, you're like, glazed donut, it's sweet. Krispy Kreme was too sweet to me. It was too much.
It was so long ago, I don't remember.
Dunkin' Donuts was good, too.
I don't think I've ever had Dunkin' Donuts. I've had their coffee.
Their coffee's good.
Their coffee grounds are known as the best, I guess, what do you call it, store-bought or whatever, packaged coffee.
I like to buy Dunkin' Donuts coffee for at home, although we've gotten some cheaper kind of versions of that, you might say. But for the most part, I was telling Bonnie earlier, I mean, I'd been to a Dunkin' Donuts before. We were at one over in Wisconsin on a work trip several years ago. And to me, it seems like when I think Dunkin' Donuts, I almost think more about their coffee and maybe some of the breakfast sandwiches, you know, and being able to get breakfast sandwiches as to opposed to the donuts.
Yeah.
So,
their glazed donuts are good too. But glaze, you can't go wrong with glaze, can you?
No.
I mean, how much more simple could you get it?
Right? Well, that's me. I'm simple. So
I know.
We were talking in that first hour, Dean, and I kind of came to the realization I know way more about donuts than I should.
Yes, he does.
You should.
He can own a donut shop. There you go. He knows so
hey, look,
much about
look,
donuts.
I was in law enforcement. What can I say?
I was just going to say, are you a cop?
Yeah.
Was. All right, Flatland Music Flashback. That's going to be coming your way right around 6:56 this morning. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this singer, a member of a group of brothers. He actually was a passenger on a train that crashed in London back in 1967. He ended up with shock, but he helped rescue a bunch of other passengers off that train. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. 6:12, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty also in with your WDAY Radio Sports. Big Game James McCarty. Sorry, Glenn. We'll be joining us with your WDAY Radio Sports coming up in a bit. First of all, Crash on the Line, Veterans Honor Flight. Got another meat raffle tonight, Wild Rice Bar and Grill.
Yes, we do. 5:30 we start. Only takes a buck to win, but you can give me as many dollars as you want to increase your odds.
There you go. I like that. What all do you have?
Well, we got the two slabs of bacon. They're usually right around 10 pounds each. And then they have the gourmet game processing, 7 different flavors of jerky and beef sticks. We got 2 of those. And then I'm doing the new thing this year. It's called the Meats by John and Wayne Mystery Meat. He gives me 3 gift cards. I give you the gift card. You bring the gift card in. He's got 3 bags of about $40 worth of meat hanging in his refrigerator waiting for you to come get it. So,
and it might only cost you a buck.
What's in the bag.
Yeah, and it might only cost you a buck, right?
Yeah. Yep, I've had people win on just $1 several times.
Yeah, but give more. And all the proceeds go to Veterans Honor Flight to help send our veterans to Washington, D.C., right?
Yep, that's correct. And we give away over $350 worth of meat. So if you were to go buy what I bring out, it's over $350 worth of meat.
Fun time. And starts at 5:30 tonight, every other Wednesday, Wild Rice Bar and Grill. And about how long does it last, Crash?
Oh, we're usually done before 7 o'clock.
All right. So, hour and a half of your time. Go eat dinner over there, too. They've got great food there. Text me an update. Let me know how much pork chop special. There you go. Oh, pork chop special. Yum. Let me know tomorrow how much you guys end up raising, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Crash. 6:18, big game. James McCarty joining the party here with your WDAY Radio Sports. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. High school volleyball last night. A couple of going-the-distance 5-setters in North Dakota. Fargo Davies edged out West Fargo High in 5 sets, 15-13, that decisive 5th set. They had to win the 4th set to even get there. Also, Fargo North would defeat Fargo South in a down-to-the-wire 5-setter. South won the first set. North won the second two. South would force that decisive 5th set. And then 16-14, the Spartans would edge out the Bruins in that 5th set. Shanley down Grand Forks Central in 4 sets. West Fargo Horace sweeping Grand Forks Red River And then Oak Grove swept Wahpeton and Central Cass over Kindred in a three-set matchup. It's not until Thursday, but we do have a local state tournament volleyball match for Minnesota. It's in the AA division. Top-seeded Holly defending their state championship against 8-seed New London Spice. So that's 1 o'clock in St. Paul on Thursday afternoon in that state quarterfinals. On the ice last night at that very venue, the formerly known as the X, now Grand Casino Arena in St. Paul, the Wild ended their six-game homestand with a overtime win over the Nashville Predators, 3-2 in OT. Philip Gustafson would save 32 of 34 shots. Actually, the Preds got it to overtime with a goal from Steven Stamkos with just a shade over a second left in the game. So that's how we ended up in overtime to begin with. Marcus Johansson would end up scoring that goal with a minute 22 left in overtime. Kirill Kaprizov, Zeev Boyum also scored in the victory. Brock Faber, a couple of assists in that hockey match. 5-6-3 is now the record for the Wild as they hit the road. They're going to be in Carolina Thursday night to battle the Hurricanes. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock for that one. College hoops last night in men's basketball. Valley City State edged out Minnesota Morris in overtime, 99-91. And in women's hoops, Minnesota rolled up on North Dakota, 91-47. Valley City State took down Minnesota Morris, 77-42. This evening, the Timberwolves will be on primetime national television at a respectable hour. They're going to be in New York taking on the Knicks. It'll be a 6:30 tip-off. Coverage available on ESPN. They're the front end of tonight's ESPN Wednesday night doubleheader. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you up to speed in the local sports scene, ready to rock and roll for as we approach another great week. And remember, Thursday night, that's when the Spuds play their state quarterfinal game for football. They're battling Centennial, and if you're looking to go to that, it's at Spring Lake Park, kickoff at 7 o'clock. I do know that Moorhead does have a bus that they're taking down there. It's $20, if I remember correctly, for tickets for it. And they depart sometime in the 2 o'clock hour, 2:30, 2:45.
Not on Spuds TV. I know the playoff games
with,
haven't
been. With state tournament, unfortunately, the...
No, fortunately, you can listen to WDAY radio.
Yes, you can listen to Larry. Unfortunately, though, for the students specifically, right, they're not able to get those extra reps in.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. So you're not able to watch on Spuds TV with it being tournament time, but Larry Knutson will get you covered at 7 o'clock is the kickoff on Thursday night, Spuds against Centennial at Spring Lake Park. And so hopefully the Spuds can continue this magical run as they take on one of the 4-1 seeds in Centennial tomorrow evening.
Bunch of interesting stuff happened on this day in entertainment history, including first NBA player to shatter a backboard. This family-friendly game, unless you're playing in my house, made its debut. And also, somebody's rotten tooth sold at auction. We'll have details on that coming up. Oh, we should mention Coach's Corner podcast too, James? Or?
Yeah, it'll be up in the next hour. Yep,
okay.
Yep. Usually around 7 o'clock is when it goes up each Wednesday. I have it queued up. I just got to make sure. I believe it's 7 o'clock.
All right. And Fargo Force, we have games coming up.
Oh, yeah. Not this weekend, but next weekend the Force will be at home. They have a three-game road trip this weekend. They're actually on the road Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But let me think here quick. This Friday is the 7th, so next Friday is the 14th. Mm-hmm. So the 14th and 15th, they're home. And tickets are available either at the Shields Arena box office or at FargoForce.com underneath the tickets tab there for you. And it's better to get tickets earlier than later because I've been the schmuck that's waited till game night. And then I've had to use my media pass and tell my buddies, go to the bar, have fun, guys, because there's no tickets left for you.
All right, we'll walk down memory lane again with those things that I've talked about coming up next. 625 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, today in history. Saw a bunch of things that kind of looked interesting. If I had to quiz you, sports guy, James walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who was the first NBA player to shatter a backboard during a game? It happened on this date.
In what
way
year?
Back when, 1946.
Oh, I was going to say Daryl Dawkins, but that was in the 70s.
Oh, that'd actually be a really good guess. I don't know who this is. Chuck Connors of the Boston Celtics.
Oh, that's way before my time.
Oh.
Well,
How
would he have shattered a backboard? Because I don't think for the longest time dunks weren't even legal.
I don't know.
You literally couldn't. And then they finally went, I think, because of breaking backboards. So eventually I think they had to, they finally came up with the breakaway rim so that you didn't have as many broken backboards.
Well, maybe it wasn't legal, but he still shattered the backboard. He was the first in the day. But Okay, so his name kind of sounded familiar. I didn't know this. I go on to see that he actually, Chuck Connors.
The Rifleman?
Yeah. Yeah.
The actor?
Yeah, that's him.
He played in the NBA?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, good job on The Rifleman, though.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the shows that was on when I was at Cardiac Rehab on MeTV.
Mm-hmm. It's Gunsmoke, not a bad show. Yeah,
Gunsmoke, The Rifleman.
Westerns.
Yeah.
1935, this family-friendly game, unless you're playing with my relatives and it never ends.
Monopoly.
Yeah, Parker Brothers launched the Monopoly game. 1935, I didn't realize it went back that far.
Well, there's probably still some games going on since 1935. It's been panned down from generation to generation.
I'm always glad when I lose first just because I like, seriously.
That's sorry, like I'm out of money. I'm out. I'll go make lunch.
The last time I played was probably about 4 years ago, and my great nephew, he was like 9. He was the champ, but it was like, it was fine. I played for like an hour and a half, and I was bored to death after an hour, and I was first out. I was glad. Yeah. We're just all like, yay, Warren, good for you. We're
good
happy.
Job, buddy.
He was super excited. Mm-hmm. 1994, George Foreman became the oldest heavyweight boxing champ in history, knocked out Michael Moore in the 10th round of their title fight in Vegas.
Was he 50 at the time?
I want to say that sounds right. 50, yeah. 52, 54,
something,
somewhere
something
around.
Along was, those lines. I mean, he
I
was.
I don't want to say he was old because
no,
we're
wasn't,
older now.
He wasn't old, and he's not as old as he is now, but it was one of those situations where he was the oldest champ at the time, you know, just based on the fact of kind of how his career had gone. He had been, you know, the heavyweight champion of the world. He had, Thrilla in Manila or whatever when he fought against, what was it, Joe Frazier? But his career just came back around. I mean, he could take a punch, and obviously he was not in the same shape as he was when he was a young man.
But he was still sturdy and
he
solid.
He was sturdy. He could take a punch, especially if you're trying to get those body blows against George. That was just darn near impossible.
Also, I don't remember this. 2003, Bobby Hatfield, not the Hatfield and McCoys, but could be a fringe relative. He was from the Righteous Brothers, died of heart failure in a hotel room in Kalamazoo, Michigan. His body was found shortly before he and Bill Medley were to perform, 63 years old.
Wow.
This is gross. Like, some people will buy anything.
Obviously.
2011, a decayed tooth that once belonged to John Lennon, sold at auction for more than $31,000. Why do you want somebody's rotten tooth? I don't care.
Because it was John Lennon's, and it's an artifact.
I don't care who it
was. You can take its DNA and clone him.
That's gross.
I know it is.
What, do you put it in a little display box or something? John
Lennon's
rotten tooth.
Like, dude, why do you have a rotten tooth in a box? Ugh. Dude, that is from the legend himself, John Lennon.
You guys be careful what you say, because when you kick the bucket, you never know who's going to end up with your stuff and who's going to end up putting something weird on the
kidding?
Auction block like
I think
this.
Half my stuff was put in the garbage before I even got back home.
2021, I remember this, Travis Scott was performing at Astroworld Festival in Houston. Mm-hmm. 8 people crushed to death, 13 people hospitalized when the crowd was surging.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sad one.
Yeah.
I guess I forgot about this. 2022, singer Aaron Carter died, just 34 years old. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because doesn't his brother in one of the boy bands like O-Town or something like that. I forget.
Is it Nick?
Nick Carter? Yeah, Nick Carter sounds right. Yep.
I think tragically they had lost a sister too, like died.
Possibly, but I think which Carter was this one? Aaron Carter?
Yeah.
I mean, his was related
to Candy. Remember he sang that? He had a bunch of hits. Like, my kids were into it because we had it on the
I'm thinking of, like, what was
Now this? 7 or whatever those.
Yeah, Now This Is Music. Yeah. I Want Candy, though. Wasn't that what was that female singer back like in the 90s? I Want Candy.
He did a remake of
it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And yeah, Nick Carter, that's his brother.
Yeah. Did it say which band he's in or group, I should say? Is it O-Town? Because there was like, you know, there was New Kids on the Block was the original, but then there was like NSYNC, and there was the other one, Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yeah. Nick Carter's in that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say, like I said, the sister also, I think she might have had like a drug overdose, I want to say, one of his sisters.
Yeah.
I guess they had a couple of them.
Yeah, that's just rough.
Yeah, sad. Mm-hmm. Bad enough to lose one kid, let alone a couple.
Yeah, I just, that, just on a different topic, that is, I think, the worst thing a person could go through. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at life, our older generations are the ones that are supposed to go before us. And obviously my grandparents have all gone. And so I know that theoretically on the list should technically be my parents. And they're both 20, 21 years older than me. But
doesn't work that way.
I mean, I might not have been here this year. So, I mean, that would have been just absolutely awful for my parents. So.
It would be. Yeah, people die young and old. Mm-hmm. But never easy when you lose a child. All right, it is 6:31. 6:35, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
A lot of sunshine out there today, but it's a frosty start. So if you left your vehicle out there, you're going to have to scrape that baby off. But again, a lot of sunshine, a little bit of a breeze out of the northwest today, but not that bad, 10 to 20. Highs in the upper 40s, and tonight we'll see those winds turn to the southeast. Oh, on the light side, only about 5 to 10, but those southeast winds will keep us a little bit warmer, low 30s. And then tomorrow, I'd say that's the warmest day of the week and probably the warmest day out of the next 7 to 8, 9 days with highs in the low to mid 50s on Thursday. Not a bad looking day, but there's always a but. It will be on the breezy side with southeast winds 15 to 25. Now, we have two Clipper systems coming our way. Clipper 1 brings a cold front through Friday. That could trigger off an isolated rain or snow shower in the morning. And then north winds will develop behind that, and then we'll have highs only in the upper 30s on Friday. And then a secondary Clipper system comes our way Saturday morning. That will carry a little bit of light snow with it, and much colder weather behind that second Clipper system for the weekend, with highs over the weekend only about 30, 32 degrees, and windy conditions both Saturday and Sunday. So that means wind chills will be down into the upper single digits to lower teens. So it's going to feel like winter this weekend.
Yeah.
In terms of accumulating snow, again, we're only looking at a dusting, maybe a tenth of an inch or so. It's not going to be anything to worry about. And then after the weekend, we do start to warm up a little bit. Briefly into the 40s for early next week. And by into the 40s, I'm talking just barely about 40, 42 degrees before we drop back into the 30s towards the middle of next week. So we're looking at more of a cooler weather pattern that's setting up over the next week to 10 days with cold air coming in this weekend. But in terms of accumulating snow, again, this is going to be a nuisance. It's not going to be anything to worry about. But if you're out hunting this weekend, strong north winds and
it's gonna be cold.
Cold temperatures, yeah.
Dress for conditions.
No doubt, no doubt.
6:37, we're going to get your national news from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network, and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, don't forget, we've got some tickets to give away. Messiah Lutheran Church, their annual Potato Club Dinner. It's this Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. If you want to win those, and you can use them, be listening for an opportunity. Right now, your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Vikings did not make any moves at the trade deadline yesterday. So we are going with the same group of guys that have gotten us to 4-4 on the season. But we're actually, I can't even say we're healthier. We have a quarterback, but our offensive line is banged up. We're getting some guys back defensively. We're working through some bumps and bruises. We'll see how it shakes out. The Vikings are going to host the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday at noon on Fox.
I thought maybe they might.
Maybe there's a chance for a move, but no, a couple of big moves were the Jets parting ways with a couple of players. Quinnen Williams, the all-pro defensive lineman, D-tackle, they sent him to Dallas, of all places. Thanks, guys. You really did everybody a favor there. And then their all-pro cornerback and Sauce Gardner ended up getting shipped off to Indianapolis. So the Colts made a big move for a lockdown cornerback, a couple of first-round picks for that one. The Jets now have, over the next two drafts in April of 26 and 27, have a combined 5 first-round draft picks because of those two trades they made with Dallas and Indianapolis yesterday. So the rebuild is on if you're a Jets fan. And you know what? With how bad the season's been, I don't blame them. We'll keep it at that. I'm not going to talk too much garbage about the Jets because the Vikings were a loss away from being in the same spot.
Yeah.
In North Dakota high school volleyball last night, Fargo Davies edged out West Fargo High in a 5-setter, 15-13 in that decisive fifth set. Fargo North edged out Fargo South in a down-to-the-wire five-setter that went 16-14 in that decisive fifth set. Shanley over Grand Forks Central in four sets. Three sweeps on the night. West Fargo Horace over Red River. Oak Grove over Wahpeton and Central Cass taking down Kindred. Minnesota Wild walking out the Nashville Predators 3-2 in overtime last night. The Wild gave up a goal with just over a second left in the game to send it to OT. And if you haven't seen it yet, with a minute 22 left in that overtime period, Marcus Johansson gets credit for the goal. But I can't really explain it. You have to just go back and watch it. So if you have the opportunity to go watch the Wild highlights or go to social media and go to the Minnesota Wild hockey account, because I tell you what, the Wild, a 3-on-2 breakaway. The puck goes from the middle to the right, back to the middle, over to the left to Johansson. And the goaltender, in his abrupt trying to slide from left to right crease, ends up knocking the goal off the post on the shot. And so the puck inadvertently didn't make it through the crease, but the Wild ended up winning from it due to the nature of the illegal displacement of the net. So
bizarre,
it's also up on the
overtime website. Yeah, bizarre overtime finish was one of the headlines.
Oh, very much so, yes. WDAYRadioNow.com under the sports tab. You actually, I have that social media post from the Wild put up there if you want to go watch that highlight. It was bananas. Mm. That's how they wrapped up a six-game homestand, with a victory in the most unusual of ways. Mm. The Wild now hit the road. They're going to be in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. Thursday night, puck will drop at 7 for that one. And great news if you're a Timberwolves fan. Another nationally televised game for the Wolves. But tonight,
Jace can't watch.
We're on the East Coast. So we're among the living.
It's what channel is it on?
ESPN, right?
Oh, it's on ESPN.
No, oh, come on.
Oh, boo-hoo.
He wasn't listening to
you know what you should
earlier.
Do? Instead of having 9 different subscriptions, just bundle them all into one. I believe in the 2000s they called it cable.
I know. I had ESPN, but then ESPN's, you know, parent company Disney and YouTube can't come to an agreement. So
I heard that Disney said that they wanted
Disney
to
channel.
Give you a good price. So they said, we're boycotting until they give us a lower price. Regardless, 6:30 ESPN, Wolves in New York battling the Knicks. Carl Anthony Towns, maybe, maybe not. Mm. Anthony Edwards, no.
He's questionable, though.
He's not going to play.
Questionable tells me no.
He's not going to play. No.
You never know with Anthony Edwards.
Ant-Man at the earliest will be back in 6 days from now. Earliest. I don't see him back this
week.
You can keep your hopes up all you
want. I will.
Tonight, Primetime Sports at 6:30. We'll get you ready to rock and roll for another great week of athletics, our family of stations. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply, the contractor headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
It was on the state in entertainment history. This song went to number 1 on the U.S. singles chart. It was featured in the film Cocktail. Find out what it is. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We do it every morning right around 6:56 on Bonnie and Friends. 6:47, we're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1971, this famous artist left the building. We'll find out who that was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
7:04, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast. Another couple of nice days, and then you're going to fall off the cliff for the weekend weather-wise.
Yeah, coldest air of the season coming our way for this weekend. But if you're a snow lover, sorry, you're going to be highly disappointed. We'll see a few snow showers, but accumulating snow, boy, a dusting to a tenth of an inch over the weekend, that's going to be about it. The big story is going to be the cold and wind. Yeah, so for all the deer hunters, it's going to be a cold one. Heck, you're a deer hunter.
They know how to
dress.
Yeah,
you're used to it.
There's a lot of heated things now.
No kidding, no kidding. Just bring a cute little gal with you could snuggle up to while you're deer hunting.
You don't need distractions. Focus on the
deer.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah,
that's right. You want to harvest a deer.
Well, we're looking at a lot of sunshine today. We're currently standing in the upper 20s across much of the area. It's a little frosty start to the day. But sunshine all throughout the area today. It will be a little breezy as winds will pick up a little bit out of the northwest, about 10 to 15. Highs in the upper 40s, about 49 today. And then down into the low 30s tonight, winds turn to the southeast on the light side, but those southeast winds ramp up on your Thursday. It's going to be a windy one. Southeast 15 to 30 and gusty, and highs in the mid-50s. So we'll rebound back into the 50s tomorrow. But then Cold front number one comes through here Friday morning. An isolated rain or snow shower possible, but no big deal. Upper 30s on Friday. And then the bottom falls out over the weekend. And a clipper system number two will bring snow showers to the area on Saturday morning. And again, a dusting to maybe a tenth of an inch. It's not going to be a big deal. But the winds are going to really ramp up out of the north, and temperatures only around 30 over the weekend. Wind chills will be in the upper single digits to lower teens. That's cold. And then we'll start to rebound as we head into next week. Temperatures already rebounding back into the 40s for Monday and Tuesday. So
mind your heavy fall or winter jackets for Friday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you're doing any, you know, hunting, football, we got football this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a cold one with wind, so just dress accordingly.
There you go.
Otherwise, you'll cry like a baby.
Yeah, no Speedos this weekend.
No.
Not outside.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Dino. Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time now is 7:06. It's time for a check on your national news from ABC. Then we return a sports update from Big Game James McCarty.
7:10, we still have some Potato Club dinner tickets to give away. Messiah Lutheran Church in North Fargo. That's coming up this Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. If you can use them and you want to win them, be listening for an opportunity. Big Game James McCarty has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Coach's Corner podcast going up right now on our website, wdayradionow.com, underneath the sports tab or podcast tab for you. This week, Coach Terry Hiran of the Cobbers, Spud head football coach Kevin Feeney as well, John Gregberg, as we talk mental aspect of the game, the long bus rides, if they're able to help a team come together, then, of course, how to overcome and meet the challenges of both upcoming opponents for the Spuds and the Cobbers, respectively. In college basketball last night, beginning their seasons, you had in men's hoops, VCSU edged out Minnesota Morris in overtime, 99-91. Women's hoops saw VCSU take down Minnesota Morris, 77-42. And then Minnesota over North Dakota by a score of 91-47. Tonight, you're going to have the Timberwolves on national television on ESPN at 6:30. They're going to be in New York taking on the Knicks. Last night, high school volleyball in North Dakota, Fargo Davies edged out West Fargo High in five sets, 15-13, that decisive fifth set. Fargo North battled Fargo South, and North would edge out South in five sets, 16-14. Shanley takes down Grand Forks Central in four sets. West Fargo Horace sweeping Red River. Oak Grove over Wapton in straight sets, and Central Cass defeating Kindred in a three-set matchup. Minnesota Wild, in the craziest of ways, if you haven't seen it, go check out the highlight. The Wild give up a goal with 0.3 seconds left in regulation, sent it to overtime. Well, the Preds sent it to overtime with the Wild in St. Paul, and Marcus Johansson would end up scoring the game-winning goal that would never end up in the net. It was odd. The goaltender for Nashville ended up knocking the goal off the post, and the officials deemed that the shot that was taken when it crossed the crease would have gotten by the goaltender and would have been a goal. And both everything happened except for the goal was just not in the right spot, so it didn't end up in the back of the net itself. The Wild end the homestand with a Wild walk-off victory against that squad from Nashville. They're now going to head to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. It'll be a Thursday night matchup. Puck drops at 7 o'clock on FanDuel Sports Network North. And tonight you're going to have primetime sports at 6:30. Jason, I'll get you ready to rock and roll in the local sports scene. Sports This Hour brought to you by Sun Electric. If your company, facility, or residence needs some electrical service done, count on Sun Electric to get it done right. They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
And WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel be joining us about 7:20 this morning, giving us a preview of what we can expect on the very first WDAY Radio Farm Show, and that's going to be all day long today. As soon as we wrap up Bonnie and Friends at 8:30, we'll get you some updated news, and then Bridget's going to take over, and that is going until 5 o'clock this afternoon. She's got a lot of incredible interviews lined up, so be looking forward to that, and like I said, she'll give us a little taste or a little sample of what we can expect. You guys eat breakfast kind of, sort of. Jace, you don't eat breakfast till like we get off the air, right? Like when you have your yogurt or whatever.
Do you want me to eat during the show?
Well, no, but most people eat before the show. But if you got here earlier, I suppose. Like I eat.
I would not eat it.
I do.
4:30 in the morning.
Jimmy, do you eat breakfast kind of, sort of?
Breakfast is my favorite meal, but it really depends on the day,
like
kind of how much we're moving.
On the fly as you're working.
Yeah, yeah. Some days I'll eat breakfast early. Sometimes I'll end up wait. It won't happen until 10 o'clock. But usually there's always a breakfast of some sort.
I would be so hangry if I didn't eat. So you guys are glad
I
eat.
Yeah, but you're
then,
up
right?
at 1:30 in the morning, Bon.
I know, but so then I eat at 2:30, like usually when I'm working, or 3 o'clock, somewhere around there. Because it's like I would be hangry, but we always hear like breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right?
Right.
I think it's because you can't think when you're hungry or whatever. But a new study finds adults who skip breakfast are just as capable at problem solving and paying attention as those who ate a meal, those who eat breakfast, those who didn't.
I think my youngest, I don't think she eats breakfast just based on the fact that her lunch at school is probably around that 10:30 to 11 o'clock range. I think it's fairly early for their lunch break. Myself, I've usually never really been someone that has to get up and eat right away. I've been a little hungry this last week or so, just because I haven't been feeling well. But for the most part, usually I can get up, have my drink while we're on the show, and then as soon as 8:30 comes, I like to sit down and have my yogurt and granola for my breakfast, just because by then I'm going to be pretty hungry. I'm not. Some people, a lot of times, they get up first thing in the morning and they're hungry pretty soon into the day.
I think they say that's a good sign. Like, you should be hungry. That's a good cue from your body.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I think I can usually last a few hours before I really feel like I need to eat. So
yeah, and you're not alone. There's just some people that they say they're not hungry. They don't eat breakfast. A couple of my kids, two of my kids aren't really breakfast eaters. And
no, I mean, cause especially like on weekends, if I'm at home or whatever, I don't have anywhere to go. I mean, I'm kind of, I like to sleep in and then get up and then maybe have a brunch or something, you know, have some eggs and pancakes or something like that, you know. So it just kind of depends, but usually I do have something to eat. It's technically breakfast because to me it's, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, obviously there's other days I might need to snack on something before we get to that 8:30, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, and I was going to say, I think it is important, though. I think kids are better focused if they eat breakfast.
Well, you don't have the distraction of, number one, being hungry. You know, we joke a lot of times about being hangry, et cetera, but sometimes you need to have that something in the morning to kind of give you that fuel to be able to be productive, because obviously food is fuel for the body, and if you're not fueling the body correctly, I mean, you're not going to have that energy or that drive that you normally have. So, I mean, it is important. I mean, I think maybe nutritionists / scientists or whoever, I think they've kind of maybe determined that it's technically not the most important meal of the day. I think they're all equally important, but, you know, you need that fuel in your body to make it go. And if you're not doing that and you're waiting until noon, like my dad, most times he doesn't eat anything until noon, if then. And he'll just have cups of coffee in the morning, just like straight black coffee, and that's it. And you're just like, well, I guess if that's your deal, Dad.
Some people can do it. Yeah. Like I said, we all have different – some of us are hungry. Some of us aren't. But this study, like I said, those who skip breakfast just as capable, adults, mind you, of problem solving and paying attention to those who ate a meal. People who missed a meal, though, missed breakfast, they did perform a little worse if they were looking at pictures of food, it said. Because I suppose then it would make you hungry, right?
Yeah.
Just like when we talk about food on this show.
Sometimes I know, we did donuts
like,
this morning.
You're making me hungry.
And yeah, exactly. When we've talked about other kind of more savory things, I think I get hungrier in the morning. But, I mean, there's a reason why at times I really had to stop watching food TV in the evening time, especially like well after your evening meal, your dinner meal. If it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night and you're watching food TV, well, then you start to get hungry and need something to snack on.
I used to be just an avid Food Network person, love the Food Network. I probably stopped about 7 years ago because I realized when I'm watching those shows, even if I'm not making the recipe they're making, all I wanted to do was eat. I'd run in the kitchen and it's like, wah, wah, wah.
I know,
and
I'm
making
like,
horrible choices. Why do they make you hungry?
I mean, they're sitting there making this delicious food and you're just like, well, I guess I'll have a bag of chips or I'll have handfuls
or
of
12 bags.
You know,
of chips.
It's cereal, but, you know, you have that frosted mini wheats or whatever. Well, you end up eating about a half a box of that while you're watching food shows. So that ain't good either.
And they always say don't snack in front of the TV because you can get carried away there. Yeah. This latest study was published in the journal Psychological Bulletin. They also made a reference to that children do get a boost from eating breakfast. So hopefully those littles are getting fed before they head out the door. And then also a new study shows increasing the number of steps you take each day may slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease, especially if you have a heightened risk. Researchers at Mass General Brigham found that cognitive decline was delayed by an average of 3 years for those who walked anywhere from just 3,000 to 5,000 steps a day. Mm-hmm. And they say in older adults who walked 5,000 to 7,000 steps, the onset of Alzheimer's was delayed by 7 years. A study published in Nature Medicine, it didn't find any, you know, benefits to walking more than those 7,000 steps a day when it came to, you know, delaying the onset of Alzheimer's. But that's some pretty significant. Yeah. If you can get, you know, an extra 3 years or an extra 7 years, that's huge.
Yeah. My grandmother used to walk a mile a day. After about a month and a half, we didn't know where the heck she was.
Is that when she had Alzheimer's?
No. That's just if you just walk in one direction and don't come back.
Well, when my grandma had
it's a joke.
My grandma was still driving, but it was like early stages of Alzheimer's. She would get lost, and she was driving still, mind you. And I remember one time somebody's like, hey, I saw your grandma over in Virginia, which was like 20 miles away. She missed the turn to come home.
Yeah,
and
we
then
had,
it just progressively got worse.
We had a family member, though, on my wife's side that had Alzheimer's. And there were times when probably before the official diagnosis of it, I mean, they'd go walking and get lost in a town they've lived in their majority of their life. So if you can do something to prevent that, that's great. But obviously, you know, this is prevention. And that's the thing. I think the exercise has shown so many times and time again that it has so many benefits. It can reduce these type of neurological diseases. It can help improve, you know, cardiovascular, et cetera, prevent heart disease. So there's so many benefits of staying active as you get older. And that's why I'm so thankful my parents. I mean, even if it's wintertime, I mean, they bought a treadmill for a reason. They'll both take turns on that treadmill, getting some miles in to make sure that they stay active. Yeah. It's good for, you know, dad's knees, it's good for mom's hips, and it's just good overall for their overall well-being.
Just like Memory Cafe of the Red River Valley here. We've talked to them numerous times and, you know, just kind of slowing the progression of those. When loneliness, too, is another thing that seems to wear on people's minds. But if they can keep busy and active and engaged with other people, it certainly helps slow the progression. WDAY Radio Farm Show all day today, beginning at 8:30, going until 5 o'clock. What are you going to be hearing? WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will let us know next.
7:24, we head across the desk over to our Ag Director Bridget Riedel to talk about today's farm show. Good morning, Bridget.
I'm actually here.
I know, right?
You probably didn't sleep all night. You're so excited, making sure everything is, all the loose ends are tied up and you're ready to go today, which I know you will be, but I get it.
You know, you get used to a point in your life where you sleep with a notepad beside your bed.
Oh, that's a good
idea. Just so you can write things down.
Otherwise, it won't let go. You'll be thinking of it all night, right?
That and the fact you'll forget it in the first thing in the morning.
Absolutely would. But so far, I have a great big spreadsheet to help me remember all the things going on today for the WDAY.
How exciting.
You need a magnifying glass. You got too much stuff on. They need a bigger piece of paper.
I probably do. I should have made a chart for the wall.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's a big day. This is our first ever WDAY Radio Farm Show. You want to make sure it's done up right, and there's so many important topics to talk about.
Well, there really are. And the way I broke this down, so first of all, most of the time for a farm show, we all have to pack up, put on a clean pair of jeans, head to town or somewhere where we're going. Now we get to stay home today. We might be trucking corn, working in the shop, finishing combining, for heaven's sakes. And you now have the opportunity to still hear what would be going on at a farm show from the comfort of wherever you are. Now, each hour has a different theme. So when we get into the 9 o'clock hour, I have folks like Frayne Olson, who is probably one of the most world-renowned ag economists here in this region. And Frayne's a local guy from the Red River Valley. We're going to talk about commodities, tariffs. How does Bitcoin fit into farming in these days?
Interesting.
He'll be joined by Lynn Paulson, who's the Senior Vice President of Banking at Bell Bank. We have folks like Greg Hansen with Agri Commodities, Ray Grabansky with Progressive Ag. And then we continue on in those themes. Water and land conservation, agronomy. I have a kind of a positive news for farmers. We're going to give a check to Farm Rescue today from our Here We Grow project.
Nice.
Folks ask me when I say we live stream on Acres TV. What's Acres TV? Well, we're going to have Darren Hefty here from Ag PhD Media. He's going to tell us exactly what that is.
Nice.
We have the opportunity to also talk about estates and investments. Farmers aren't
important.
Always good about that.
Yeah.
So Mark Wagner with ND Estate Services is going to join us, as well as John Haug with Financial Wealth Solutions. Megan Hansen, she's with North Dakota Farm Bureau because they have health plans for folks to talk about.
Oh,
we're going to get into equipment with Red E, Purple Wave Auctions, North Star Ag, Dynamic Cropping Systems. You guys talked to Josh Alsager about the meat on his on your plate. I'm going to talk to him about the meat on the hoof. We're still going to talk livestock. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Gowan and Company coming in to talk weed control in that hour. Butler Machinery will be here. And then we're going to wrap up with kind of the finishing touches. AgriShine, getting our equipment cleaned up, whether it's for sale or for storage. And Warren Moe with Oaks Truck and Trailer. Warren has the best stories ever because he's got 100% recovery rate anytime someone gets a tractor, combine, whatever stuck. He gets them back out.
Oh, that's really?
Good.
Yeah. He's fun.
And he has probably had to get creative over the years.
Very.
Sometimes you get buried pretty deep.
Oh, man. And so Warren's got, my favorite is if he brings pictures. We've got two interns helping us for the day, assistant ag directors. They are FFA members from Enderlin and Barnesville.
Oh, nice.
They have been here previously this year, but just knocked her out of the park, and I have them coming back to
me. Well, and it's a lot of work to be putting on the show that you're putting on. Yeah. It takes a big effort here. And we've got Michael, our videographer.
We do.
Brad, who's been busy behind the scenes helping
Addison will be here to help for the day. The girls are going to be on air with me from time to time, but they'll also be helping with guests and acting as showrunners. And in fact, they'll probably be downstairs knocking on the door in about 4 minutes. But I'm excited that they're going to be here for the day.
Oh, good.
But also, interesting, if you're not in the ag industry, farming affects all of us as consumers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what a way to learn. This is like Ag 101 in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you aren't in farming, because it affects our economy in this region so heavily, here's your chance to hear a little bit more and feel comfortable about it.
Well, and that's kind of, you had some of us talk about some of our ag memories. And
yes.
I have, you know, for me, I have such a different perspective. My life as a youth was really shaped, obviously, by the ag community, but just in that opposite way. Because a lot of people you normally talk to are farmers and ranchers, people in the agribusiness. And I know you've even had guests on from my hometown, whether it's the Cattlemen's Association, whether I'm drawing a blank on the business, Knock, last
name
is
Jared Knock.
Jared Knock.
Yeah,
yep.
They are with Agspire.
Agspire, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have all those people in my hometown community, but my dad was on the opposite side of it. He was at the grain elevator. So I was a town kid and I would help dad at the grain elevator. So we were very much affected by the ag business. I mean, I still, some of my favorite smells are that diesel fuel in harvest time and the drying of the corn. But I mean, it's a different view. But, you know, like you said, there's so many small communities around here that are so heavily involved in ag, and there are some different perspectives, obviously, when it comes to that. It's not all about always the farmer and the rancher. There's other people involved, and you've got a lot of those guys coming on, especially like when it comes to the finances, the loans, et cetera, when it comes to that side of it, which is very important to a lot of farmers, especially the small family farm.
And right now, you know, going into the end of the year, it's time to start thinking about, did we make any money? Did we not?
Mm-hmm.
And what are we going to do for next year?
Yeah.
And again, thank you to both of you for sharing your memories. Yeah. We're going to listen to those throughout the day. Also, I had listeners send us aerial pictures of their farms.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
So, because we remember the days where a plane would fly by, take a photo of your place, and then someone would come in a car and sell you that picture.
That's awesome.
We'll have some of
those
to share.
Oh, great. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. You guys have a fantastic day, and I'll be back in about an hour.
Yeah,
there you go.
You better be, because we're getting out of here. We are hightailing it out of here at 8:30. WDAY Radio Farm Show with Bridget Riedel. It kicks off then. It is 7:30 right now. Be listening for an opportunity to win yourself some tickets to the Messiah Lutheran Church Potato Club Dinner. It's this coming Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. We've got two pairs of tickets yet to give away. 7:34, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we're looking at a lot of sunshine today. Now, yesterday we saw clouds, mild temperatures, a few showers. Today, a lot of sunshine and no rain in the forecast today. A dry day. A little breezy as we head into the afternoon out of the northwest, about 10 to 20, but that's not too bad. 49 today is what we're going for. And then tonight, partly cloudy, low 30s. And tomorrow, a little bit warmer, but it is going to be windy tomorrow. Southeast winds 15 to 30 and gusty, and highs in the mid-50s tomorrow. Then we have two cold fronts coming into the area as we head into the weekend. Cold front number one hits Friday morning. As the front passes through Friday morning, we'll see a chance of an isolated rain or snow shower. And breezy conditions behind the front with highs in the upper 30s on Friday. And then cold front number two with clipper number two comes through Saturday morning. That will trigger off some snow showers. Now, if you're looking for accumulating snow, or enough snow to throw a snowball at Bonnie on Saturday morning, it's not going to happen. We're looking at dusting to a tenth of an inch, not much at all. And highs over the weekend, though, only around 30 with strong north winds. So wind chills in the teens over the weekend. If you're hunting, if you're going to be out at the football game on Saturday, it is going to be a chilly one, bundle up. Nothing we haven't seen before, no, you know.
But that's par for the course at this time of year. You get into November, you're going to
have... You should
be, right? It's going to be cold.
Thank you.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. It's not unexpected. So.
You should be getting cold. And then we rebound back into the 40s for next week. So a brief shot of cold air, 3 days of seasonally cold air. Normal highs going into the weekend are about the low 40s, so a good 10 degrees below normal. That's not too bad.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Weather is brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979 with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:36. We got to check on your national news from ABC. Big Game James McCarty returns with your WDAY Radio Sports. Then Dino will be back for your 3-degree guarantee.
Big Game James McCarty's here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Minnesota Twins introduced new manager to the media, Derek Sheldon, yesterday afternoon. He told reporters in that introductory press conference that being away from baseball the last 6 months has allowed him to become a better manager. Sheldon was fired by the Pirates because, well, honestly, they're just a dumpster fire. Actually, that's about the only way to explain Pittsburgh. They're a dumpster fire with one of the best pitchers in baseball standing on top of that dumpster fire itself. So he took over that managerial role for them. Golly, was that the COVID 2020 season? Because he was the Twins bench coach in 2018 and 2019, if I remember correctly. Regardless, he is reflected over those last few months because he was let go by Pittsburgh early in the 2025 season, and he takes over for his former boss, Rocco Baldelli, actually, who was fired by the Twins back in September, the day after the 2025 season ended up wrapping up. High school volleyball last night, we saw a couple of five-setters go the distance. We had Fargo Davies edge out West Fargo High. It was 15-13 in that decisive fifth set. And then Fargo North over Fargo South and a down-to-the-wire five-setter that was a 16-14 win for North in that final set. Shanley over Grand Forks Central in a four-setter, and then three sweeps on the night. West Fargo Horace over Grand Forks Red River, Oak Grove over Wahpeton, and Central Cass downing Kindred last evening. Minnesota Wild walking off the Nashville Predators 3-2 in overtime. It was a game that saw one of the oddest game-ending goals I've ever seen. At the same point, if you don't give up a goal with 0.3 seconds left, you're not in position to have a controversial victory. Minnesota sports stress me out.
To say the least, watching the video, James, to have a game-winning goal that never hit the back of the net.
It did go over the crease, it
crossed the goal line, and it would have been where the thing was. But you can clearly see that the goaltender for Nashville uses that left leg not just to push off to slide across the face of the goal. He pushes that off its moorings, and the goal then...
Well, he was beat pretty bad because Kaprizov, he sold out on Kaprizov, and Kaprizov said, oh, I got Johansson with two-thirds of a net.
When you push off on that one side, it swings basically 45 degrees backwards, and it just stays on one spot.
It basically went 90. It was like a full quarter rotation.
Yeah, I think that would be 45. 90 would be facing the complete other way. I think
that'd be 180.
No, 180?
180. Uh-huh. That's a half circle. 90 is a quarter circle.
Okay. Yeah.
40. You know what? Regardless, we weren't... Well, you were kind of a numbers guy.
Yeah.
The Wild, it was 3-2. I do know that means they won.
That's all that matters, that they got credit.
They're
going
to hit the road now. They're going to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes on Thursday night. How about that for a save? I just saved the whole sports for us. But I'm clever. Bonnie's ignoring me.
Bonnie's doing math and thinking Brian Cronk's going to be cruising down the hallway pretty quick. Hurry up.
Okay. Wolves, national television in New York tonight, 6:30 ESPN. That's where I'll be. I'll be planted on the couch with my tail end. A beverage of sorts in hand, ready to rock and roll for T-Wolves basketball. No Anthony Edwards tonight. That's confirmed. He's been cleared for some basketball activity, but not in actual game action at this point. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 as well. Jason and I will be rocking and rolling for that. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
744, Chief Meteorologist Dee Moisaki has your three-degree guarantee coming up next. Then Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight. 746, time now for your three-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dee Moisaki. It's brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
And forecasted 56 yesterday.
No, you forecasted 55.
55. I have it written down, too. Oh. Nice try, yeah. though, buddy.
Well, the actual is 55.
I know, so job. I don't know why you're trying to run away from what you predicted.
I had 56 written down here. I must have changed
it. No, you said
it.
Double nickels.
I did say double nickels yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't know why you're trying to run away from how correct you were.
Well, I'm modest most
not
days.
Normally.
No, you're not.
Today we're going to go, you could book the mortgage on today's. I got a good weather bookie if you want to, you know.
Sure you do.
You've got a gambling issue.
Me and Ronnie.
I'd rather give Brian Kronk my money than you.
49 for today's 3-degree guarantee. Enjoy it. Tomorrow, another nice day in the 50s, but then the bottom falls out, as I said, over the weekend. I put something on our social media showing three different models forecast for snowfall. Again, it's not going to be a big deal, maybe up to a tenth of an inch on Saturday morning, but other than that, don't get excited and don't believe any clickbait you're seeing on social media. We're not going to get a whole lot of snow, if anything. So, but again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 49.
And that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
748, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us next. 749, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us now with a market update and insight. Markets lower yesterday. What happened with the tech shares?
I tell you what, maybe there's finally some wind starting to come out of the sails a little bit. You know, we had a company, one software company, Palantir, reported earnings. Everybody was watching it. And guess what? Earnings were fantastic. These guys have made more money than they've ever made before in their life. And guess what? They were powerful. Their projections for where we're going forward is powerful. Everything looks rosy. And the stock sells off and goes down 10%. I think we closed down 8%. But that gets my attention. You know, we're looking for signs that you might have to start looking at a pullback coming up. Well, one of the most telling ones is when big stocks that are leading this market pull back on good news. That's like a huge shot across the bow. Everybody should wake up and look at this. I'm not sure if it was Palantir or if it was the fact that two big Wall Street CEOs had said, hey, this market is overvalued, and that caused that sell-off. Looks like it's going to be a one-day sell-off, but it reminds me of back in, what was it, 1996, when, you know, we had our Fed chair at that time, Greenspan, say that the market was filled with irrational exuberance. Mm. The market sold off briefly, and then it went up for four more years. So we'll see. Is this the beginning of the end, or is this just a shot across the bow? We'll see what happens.
I guess we're going to spend a little less for the holidays this year. $10 less than last year, National Retail Federation says. About $890.49 per person this year will be shelling out for Christmas shopping.
How do they know that?
I have no idea.
I'm going to spend $10 less. You know what? I'm spending a lot less than that. I tell you what.
I don't know how they come up with these numbers.
I'm scratching people right off my Christmas list altogether.
There you go. Got to stick within the budget, right?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't surprise me, though. We were just talking earlier this morning with some people about just this economy. And you know what? You can look at Palantir or you can look at this tech stuff and AI. It's driving the market and the economy looks great. But I tell you what, when you talk to the consumer, you talk to some of these people who just voted to elect Mondami, they're talking about a different economy. They're talking about not being able to pay rents, and they're talking about their egg prices and all of that stuff. Inflation is not yet under control, but the Fed has already started lowering interest rates. This is what happened in the 70s. Inflation did not get under control, and the Fed continued to lower interest rates or kept them too low, and we saw inflation kind of reignite, you know. So the fire wasn't out, and it reignited with a vengeance and came back. And that's the risk we run, you know, trying to keep a full labor market or things like that by lowering interest rates either too much or too soon. And so that's one of my worries, is that we actually, instead of helping the consumer and helping the general public, we end up hurting it with more inflation with these lower rates.
We don't need that. Things are already expensive.
Exactly.
Well, how do you kind of balance then that as someone that is going to manage your portfolio? Because we see the market, and to me, this market this year has still had a great year, continuing to go upward. But for a lot of people that obviously don't have that, either that extra money that they've had taken out of their checks and putting into 401ks or whatever the case is, day-to-day expenses, are, as you said, they keep going up. So how do you kind of really overall look at the market and go, yeah, well, the stock market continues to grow, but at the same time, there are people struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, it is really amazing, and we can see that when we're doing planning, we might have to plan for, you know, higher costs into the future, but you can just see a number of things happening and how it affects people. So right now, there's less and less market participants. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about how the Magnificent Seven and a narrow market participation for the last couple of years, but it's beginning to be less and less. So a lot of the consumer cyclical stocks, those things that consumers buy that they don't necessarily need, mm-hmm. so I'll say trips to Disney World, hotels, cruises, all that, that stuff is pulling back. So the consumer's already saying, hey, we're tapped out. We're trying to buy groceries. We can't take that cruise. We can't take that vacation. Marriott stock, Hilton stock, those things have been flat. And we're seeing more and more of those kinds of companies, just their stocks are going nowhere because they're not seeing a whole lot of bookings or things like that. We're even starting to see it in consumer staples. And that's a little scary to me. So usually if you want safety and defense in the market, the last thing that the consumer stops buying is those things that they do need. So mm-hmm. diapers and formula and, you know, milk and eggs and all of those things. And that's slowing as well. So I think the consumer is a lot worse off than what the indicators would normally look at. You're seeing more layoffs. You're seeing a job market like that. The good news is we just got an ADP jobs report that was higher than expected. So there is still jobs being created. There mm-hmm. are still people being hired. And so maybe some of these people who aren't working will get back into the labor force and that'll help propel things higher. But I think what we're seeing is a sort of a delayed reaction to some of the tariffs. We're seeing just this slowdown in the consumer economy because of inflation. And what's going to be different is the answer to some of this inflation had been to give our employees wages that were increasing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Well, if companies are trying to just stay afloat because business isn't good, they certainly don't have extra money to give people raises. They're just trying to keep people employed. So now, guess what? You have some of those same people who can no longer afford to put as much money in their 401k. Right. Now you've got money not going into this stock mm-hmm. market. And this becomes a pretty negative snowball effect downhill. So I hope we can avoid all of that.
Even if things are tight, shouldn't you at least try to pay, like put $25 in or something? Try to find money to put in your 401k?
Well, I agree. The first thing you should do if you want to have success and you want to have a good retirement is pay yourself first. I would say that's the last thing that you should cut because that's a necessity. Yeah. At some mm-hmm. point, you aren't able to earn money. You're going to be looking at that stuff that you stashed away. You don't want to be that squirrel in the middle of January who never put any nuts in yeah. the tree, right?
And mm-hmm. you need those three fancy coffees a month or $25 exactly. to save for your future.
So that the coffees are probably going to go away first, or they should if yeah. we're trying to make some priorities here. But then it's going to be that money that they're investing on top of their 401k. So, you know, watch for these people who are doing Robinhood on the side. So that's going to start to go away. Or they're doing an individual account next to their 401k. That stuff's going to start going away first. And so as you start to see that, that removes the retail investor from the market. Well, guess what? We are all the retail investor. That's our money. And so that does have a huge effect on this market. So those are some of the things that I worry about. You know, the new jobs report, seeing some of these people get reengaged, seeing that we've got a great economy on the tech side. I don't know. Is that enough to counter what's going on the consumer side? We'll have to wait and see.
When it comes to planning for one's future, for the retirement, obviously we always talk about starting as soon as you can is better. But with the economy kind of the way it is, inflation maybe down under control, you and your team there at Collins and Kronk, are you having to kind of maybe not necessarily be more aggressive, but think that there you might need a bigger cushion or a bigger dollar amount to be able to retire when you want to than you were maybe a year or two ago? I mean, obviously, a lot of the market keeps gaining, as we said, but do you need to kind of adjust that number for your clients going forward?
Yeah, you know, Jace, I think if this continues, that was what we'll have to do is right. we'll have to adjust that. So far, this is just a short-term phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call it a trend yet. We'll see what happens. But from the most part, when we start to see this economy slip a little bit, I hope it just stays a little short-term thing. It's a blip and we can get back to normal. But if that continues, then yes, we're going to have to look at rising costs when it comes to retirement, what it's going to take to live once you're no longer working, and increase all of that. And that puts a lot of stress on those plans.
I didn't know copper was a thing, but apparently copper is a precious metal. Just hit some.
You get after me, copper. See, you can't get me, copper. That kind of copper?
No, different kind of copper.
My bad.
Of course, copper is a thing.
I didn't know, and I suppose it has a surge now with cryptocurrency and whatnot. Aren't they using copper mining and products like that? And
so it's in this microphone we're speaking in. It's in the wires. Yeah. It's in everything. It's in all of these semiconductors. It's
right?
in data centers. It's in those two. It's in all of that. It's probably the most used industrial metal out there. It's a semi-precious metal. Nobody like collects copper coins except for now that pennies are going away.
Silver, right?
Right. But it's out there, right? So yeah, so copper is definitely a thing. In fact, we call it Dr. Copper. If you want to know the state of the economy and the state of the industrial economy, you check and see what copper is doing. If copper is going up or it's steady, the industrial economy is good. If it's going down, then guess what? You've got some problems. Hmm. And this is where those mixed signals come in, because copper's doing great. We're seeing industrials do great. And so a whole lot of things on the industrial and the global side where we're building out AI and whatever, that's the part that's the growth side of this economy, and it's doing fantastic. But we're starting to see, like I say, some chinks in the armor.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out what next week brings. Brian, if our listeners want to get a hold of you over there, Collins and Cronk, how do they do that?
Oh, it's super easy. You can call us at 235-0119. We'll hook you up with somebody on the team and tell you how things work.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Brian Cronk, managing partner of Collins and Cronk, joins us Wednesday mornings right around 7:45 on Bonnie and Friends. It is 7:58. We're going to be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center coming up shortly. 8:01, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:05, time to check out your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dane Wysocki.
Tell you, it's going to be a pretty decent day. For this time of the year, we could be looking at snow and cold, and not yet. We're looking at a pretty decent day today and tomorrow in terms of temperatures. Today, a lot of sunshine to start off the morning here. We've got temperatures hovering right around the freezing mark across the area. Now, we'll warm it up into the upper 40s today. 49 is what I'm calling for. We'll turn a little breezy out of the northwest, 10 to 20. That's not too bad as we head into the afternoon. Then the winds will die down as we head into evening. Under partly cloudy skies, will drop down to a low overnight near freezing, and southeast winds about 5 to 10. But those southeast winds ramp up. It's going to be a windy one tomorrow, gusting at or over 30. But that'll help warm us up into the mid-50s tomorrow. And then two clipper systems come our way over the weekend. One Friday. We'll drag a cold front through here Friday morning, and a lot of clouds around on Friday. Maybe a rain or snow shower in the morning, with highs only in the upper 30s on Friday. But then even colder weather gets pushed in over the weekend, with highs only around 30, wind chills in the teens, and some snow showers Saturday morning. Now, we're not looking at a lot. We're looking at about a tenth of an inch or so, if that. So, again, if you're worried or if you're wanting snow, sorry, cold is going to be the big issue this weekend. But then we warm things back up into the 40s as we head into next week. So a brief cold snap for about 2-3 days, and then things moderate as we head into next week.
All right, Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by Ace Out Golf Simulators. How about this for a showstopper? Add a golf simulator to your home, apartment, or office. It's a smart upgrade that adds value and year-round excitement. It's easy to install and maintain with local support from owner Austin. Holiday season is upon us. You can rent out their space at Ace Out Golf Simulators, or you can have one of them brought to your location. Great for work parties, holiday parties, also groom's dinners, post-proms, or corporate events. Create fun and a friendly competition. It is quick setup, portable, easy to use. Austin and his team, they handle everything for you. Why go to the course when Ace Out can bring the course to you? Any course in the world. Ace Out Golf Simulators. Improve your game, improve your life. We've got two pairs of tickets to give away. Messiah Lutheran Church, they are having their annual Potato Club dinner this Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. If you can use those tickets, we are looking for callers. First two callers, 701-293-9000. Caller one, caller two, go. Congratulations, Steve and Adele. One pairs of tickets to Messiah Lutheran Church's Potato Club dinner coming up this Saturday. If you still wanted to go, we are out of tickets, but you can buy them at the door Saturday night, 4 to 7 p.m., but get there earlier rather than later because last year they ran out. Coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this singer who also had a variety show. In fact, he was the guy who gave Muppet creator Jim Henson his first national exposure. And she is the only artist to have a number one single on the Billboard charts each of the last 6 decades. You will find out who that is. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, 6:56 tomorrow
six
morning.
6 decades. That's, I mean, I'm only thing I can think of is Cher, but I could be wrong on that one. Coming up November 15th at Fargo Holiday Inn, an evening with Fox and Friends is Brian Kilmeade, plus comedian former New York City cab driver Jimmy Fallon. Visit freedommattersusa.com or eventbrite.com right now. VIP tickets are going fast. Veterans and student tickets are super affordable. All proceeds help grow Turning Point USA. So go to freedommattersusa.com or eventbrite.com right now.
And don't forget, WDAY Radio Farm Show with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. That starts at 8:30 this morning, going all day long until 5 o'clock. Brought to you in part by the Mosaic Company and Dynamic Cropping Systems. Big game, James McCarty's here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Minnesota Vikings may have been the quietest team of the trade deadline.
Nah, not necessarily.
They were
one of several.
They perused.
Mm-hmm.
They did this thing that Midwesterners call window shopping.
Yep.
They did not buy anything, though.
They're like, do I really need it? I mean, I think I can get by.
We've
got a quarterback at home.
Nothing was 30% off.
No, nothing.
If something was 30% off, the Vikings would have bit immediately that's how Midwesterners are.
I bet you the day after the trade deadline, I bet you they got some great deals.
They probably did. Could have got a couple returns even.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
God, that was dumb, wasn't it? I can't believe that we really milked that long. That was oof. Well, you know what? The Vikings, they return home to U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday at noon. If you can't make it in person, it'll be available on Fox. They're going to take on the Baltimore Ravens. The Vikings 4-4, trying to get above 500 for the first time. Oh, gosh. Has it been since week one?
Did you lose week two?
Yeah, that was the debacle with Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys have been kind of bouncing back and forth.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, that was sad.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's get back above 500 before we get to Thanksgiving, guys. Take down the Ravens on Sunday at home. High school volleyball last night in North Dakota. Fargo Davies edged out West Fargo High in 5 sets. It was a 15-13 win for Davies in that 5th set. Fargo North edged out Fargo South in a down-to-the-wire 5-setter, 16-14 in that final and decisive 5th set. Shanley over Grand Forks Central in a 4-setter and 3 sweeps last night. West Fargo Horace over Grand Forks Red River, Oak Grove down in Wahpeton, and Central Cass defeating Kindred. All in high school volleyball last night. Minnesota Wild on the ice. They gave up a goal with 0.3 seconds left in regulation to send their game to overtime. It was their 6th and final game of their homestand, and with 1:22 remaining in the overtime period, it was a 3-on-2, the puck to the middle, back to the right, over to the middle, back to the right. It was Kaprizov over left, and
you could do hockey play-by-play.
I could, couldn't
I? Good job, Jimmy.
Maybe.
I'm proud of you.
Maybe.
Look at you.
We'll see. We'll see. That could be a possibility.
Maybe someday when you're a big Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right now, you're a little Jimmy. We love you.
Marcus Johansson shot a puck into a net that wasn't there, and the officials deemed it would have been a good goal if the goaltender didn't knock off that net and send it halfway across the ice last night. So the Wild 3-2 in overtime, walking off the Predators, wrapping up that homestand. They're going to hit the road now Thursday night. They're going to be in Carolina to battle the Hurricanes. College hoops last night, you had in men's basketball, VCSU taking down Minnesota Morris in overtime, 99-91, and women's hoops, VCSU would defeat Minnesota Morris 77-42. Minnesota rolled North Dakota 91-47. Tonight, the Timberwolves will remain out on the East Coast. They're going to be on national television, taking on the Knicks in New York. 6:30 is the tip-off. If you're not Jace, you can watch it on ESPN here this
ridiculous
evening. And tonight, Primetime Sports at 6:30. We'll get you ready to rock and roll for another great week of athletics. Thursday night, Spud Football State Quarterfinals. Remember that Thursday night this week, State Quarterfinals, Spud Football against Centennial at Spring Lake Park. It'll be a 7 p.m. kickoff. Larry Knutson on the call Thursday night. I cannot overemphasize that. Thursday quarterfinal game here this week. The last thing I need to do is to talk about the score Friday morning and have somebody tell me the game's not till tonight because they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Thursday night is the state quarterfinals for the Spuds. here upcoming. And as well, it's up on the website now. Listen to our Third Drop Coffee Coach's Corner podcast with Copper football head coach Terry Hernandez, Sput football head coach Kevin Feeney, our very own Greg Bird, the host of the podcast. 37 minutes this week. Those guys just yapped and yapped and yapped. A lot of good stuff to talk about, though. Well, it's I can't argue that, actually. The podcast up on our website, WDAYRadioNow.com, underneath that podcast tab. Thank you to our sponsors, Third Drop Coffee in Moorhead, Cambridge Fox Concrete, and Brady Service Center for making it possible. A lot of great stuff talking about how long bus rides can help build up that team chemistry, their upcoming challenges, their games, the Cobbers on the road at McAllister, the Spuds, that state quarterfinals matchup against Centennial on Thursday night, and of course, well, they weren't supposed to win the first two games of the playoffs, so why not win the third one, right?
Yeah.
I know Centennial's not going to take them lightly. The Spuds put up 64 points last Friday against Woodbury.
Wow.
64.
Hopefully the weather
cooperates. Rumor has it the Browns haven't scored 64 this season.
Maybe.
I honestly have no idea, but I just know their offense is not good.
There's that.
I like to poke fun at people.
Okay.
This was one of the odder sports hits I think we've had in recent memory. There was a lot of it was a very sideways kind of backing myself into a corner type of sports report. I feel
it's all good.
I really feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Twins, they introduced manager Derek Sheldon, who was a bench coach for Twins in the late 2010s.
Are we excited yet? I don't think we're.
Well,
excited.
I think the fact that in his introductory press conference he said, "I learned a lot about being a manager the last 6 months."
I suppose he had time to reflect and think about it after getting the boot.
Yeah, exactly. He got let go 6 months ago by Pittsburgh. So
here's my question, James. With hiring Derek Shelton, is it kind of rearranging chairs on the Titanic? Because you have Rocco Baldelli, who was a good manager, and you might have questioned some of the things he did, but you traded away most of the talent this team had. Fired the manager because you didn't win, and now you hire a guy that got fired because he didn't win in Pittsburgh in another dumpster fire. So how are we really changing anything?
I'm gonna one up your analogy.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say that we're moving chairs on the Titanic. In my opinion, what we did was we took that nice, 150 horse Yamaha motor on the back of the boat.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Mille Lacs, okay? Lake Mille Lacs.
Okay. All right.
For Minnesotans, upper Midwesterners, you understand that storms can just arise out of nowhere in central Minnesota, north central Minnesota. We see a storm coming in. We decided to unscrew that 150 horse, Mercury or Yamaha, whichever you prefer, and it fell into the bottom of the lake, and we are now using our trolling motor to try and beat the storm.
Sounds
that's
about
good,
right.
Jimmy. That's mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I like it.
No disrespect to Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah.
He dealt with one dumpster fire. If somebody can handle a mess to the extent of what the Twins currently are, he is probably your guy.
Yeah.
But at the same point, do not expect him to Billy Bean this sucker to 95 wins for the Twins next year, because barring a bunch of rookies playing the best baseball we've seen in the last 15 years, unfortunately, I think that we're all going to be supporting a minor league ball club next season.
Yeah.
In a big league facility.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah. We need talent before we can worry about what manager we have.
Well, the problem is we got talent. The issue is the offseason is here. That means the front office can trade.
Yeah, and they'll probably trade more away.
It was nice knowing you, Joe Ryan.
Yep. Bye.
Pablo Lopez, you were a gem.
Mm-hmm. So
Byron Buxton, thank the good Lord you put a no-trade clause in your contract.
Yeah.
Played 100 games last year. You said
and
no at the deadline.
Get hurt, so that was big. Mm-hmm.
Not substantially.
Right.
Yeah. He missed, 30 games, but I'll take it. That was 25.
For Byron Buxton, that's pretty darn good.
It's like an Iron Man performance from him.
Second time in his 11-year big league career, he broke 120 games.
It's amazing.
There's that. So, all right. We'll
if he was healthy for 160, I guarantee we would try and get rid of him. Remember Torii Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's because he was due money, and so we let him walk.
Mm-hmm.
Johan Santana was due a contract, so we traded him away for Carlos Gomez, who subsequently liked to run into walls.
So it's going to be a tough couple of years ahead, it sounds like, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I'm really giving a lot of confidence. By the way, we're under 100 days to spring training.
There you go.
98 for the Twins to be
ready. We'll get a good first look.
We just got done with watching the Twins dumpster fire. Hey, it's going to be back in 3 months.
It's been 5 weeks since we watched some of the worst baseball in the last decade.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And
well,
it's going to be bad.
Filling those seats next year.
Hey, the good news is the tickets are going to go back to like the late 2000s in the Metrodome.
No, they won't. They'll still charge us top dollar.
They'll probably still go up.
They can't.
Food prices will be going up.
There's no way.
Food is about the best part of going to a
Twins
game.
You know, what they're going to do is, you know, hopefully they're a smart business plan. They go, we charge $15 for a beer. We charge $9 for a hot dog. You can't sell it if the seat's open. Drop the ticket prices. Yeah. You're not paying anybody anyway.
Just let people in free.
Yeah. I guess Pablo, Joe Ryan, and Byron Buxton you're paying, but you can make that up in hot dog sales, and you're charging $12 for a hot dog.
The kids on the naughty list are going to get Twins tickets in their stockings.
Could you imagine?
We're terrible.
Could you imagine getting Twins tickets instead of coal?
The kid.
I can't keep the house heated with this.
The kid starts crying. What's wrong, Billy? I got Twins tickets. What did I do wrong?
They gave me a flex pack for 10 games.
Maybe they'll be better.
I promise I'll be better next year, Santa.
We'll see.
Can I trade these in for one Wolves game?
Stay tuned for that season. All right, WDAY Radio, first ever farm show with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. That will begin after Bonnie and Friends wraps up. We're going to get you updated on your news and weather before we do that. But then Bridget will be taking over the airwaves all day long. Tune in for that going until 5 this afternoon, brought to you in part by the Mosaic Company and Dynamic Cropping Systems. Don't forget, there is a meat raffle tonight. Crash from Veterans Honor Flight called in earlier. It's every other Wednesday. Tonight's the Wednesday. So 5:30 tonight, Wild Rice Bar and Grill. Meat raffle starting again at 5:30 and might just cost you a buck. You can give them as many dollars as you want, but all it takes is a buck to win. And there's like $40, $45 meat bundles, bacon, all sorts of stuff. So Wild Rice Bar and Grill, get there and let's raise some money for Veterans Honor Flight. 8:24, we're going to get you updated here. From the American Ag Network. It's not time for news yet.
What's going on there,
Austin? Hold your horses. Whoa, Nelly. We got to talk like farmers now or something like the stereotypical because Bridget's going to be taking
Whoa,
over
Nelly
the airwaves.
Whoa, Nelly is talking like a farmer?
That's all I know.
My goodness.
Probably learned it. John Wayne movie or something. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to get in trouble from Trucker Al if we don't mention again. I know we brought it up a couple times previously, but For Love of Dog is holding, Rescue is holding their 17th annual silent auction and social. Al has dropped up multiple posters and given me multiple reminders. Now, this is taking place
tomorrow.
Through Saturday. They're having an online auction that's going on.
You got a lot of things you can browse and bid on from local goods and gift baskets to pet-themed packages and handcrafted pieces. In addition to the online bidding, For Love of Dog Rescue will host an in-person social event Saturday from 5 until 9 p.m. at the Fargo Air Museum. Guests will have the opportunity to view auction items in person and enjoy an evening filled with fun and community spirit. They're going to have a 50-50 raffle, a lively Irish auction, a cash bar, and For Love of Dog merchandise, and some other surprises throughout the night. For Love of Dogs, that's just one of those great organizations, Bonnie. I mean, as someone that's adopted my dog from a shelter, I think it's important for those to be able to be adopted, and obviously all the volunteers, because I don't even know if For Love of Dogs has an actual office themselves. It's usually a lot of fostering going on for those animals, and they do just a great job. And if you're looking for a pet, please consider adoption rather than buying a brand new puppy somewhere, because obviously those dogs that are in foster care, For Love of Dogs, I mean, they're looking for a home and they deserve a great home.
Yeah. And if you want to check out all the different items they have on their online auction, again, it opens tomorrow and wraps up Saturday at 9 p.m. But just go to For Love of Dog Rescue, their website, and you can find it there. Coming up tomorrow morning, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda will be joining us, serving up another fantastic wild game recipe. Stay tuned for the WDAY First Ever Farm Show with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. That's coming up next. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and Friends, we will be back tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Have a great day.